welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live from the new Central Texas Command Center of the Alex Jones Network. Very glad you're here with us for this Monday afternoon broadcast. Looks like the war in Iran is back on, basically. The short-lived and possibly non-existent ceasefire has basically been broken now. Missile alert, emergency in Dubai as Iran fires four missiles at UAE for the first time since the U.S. and Tehran agreed to the ceasefire. They've also struck ships in the in the Straits of Hormuz. And Trump's response has been a little bit interesting, kind of questionable. I believe they hit a South Korean ship, and Trump's response was, well, maybe South Korea should get involved now. Which is like, well, it's not really their fault. They weren't really the ones who started this whole mess. So you have to wonder how they're feeling about it. And we also have video that I can show you later of some of the people around Trump basically saying, yeah, we decided not to, you know, spread news about this until we could really figure out exactly what was going on. And they're sort of saying it without saying it. They didn't want Trump flying off the handle and doing something stupid, which is a very strange position to be in, I imagine, as a general, that you're commander in chief. It's just not going well. I guess in a word, you could say it's still not going well, and we continue to be flailing, and then you go to the MAGA supporters on X, and they're all saying that we've already won, we have completely, absolutely dominated, and we're just continuing to win, and these attacks are just like, whatever, who cares? UAE reports first missile drone attack since Iran's ceasefire. And we can show you some pretty astonishing videos of that later, of course. Meanwhile, we have some updates to, I got a lot of updates to the California governor's race. And I'm not sure if this is just because it's my, you know, X algorithm, you know, give me a warped perspective. But I've seen like so much posted about this mayor's race in the last few days. It's got me convinced that's something we need to focus on, because Spencer Pratt is so clearly just far and away the better candidate. But there is some scheming going on in the background. There is some cooperation from the Democrats and the Socialists to try to box out Spencer Pratt. And he continues to sort of dominate across the entire spectrum in terms of the messaging, the popularity on social media, going on Joe Rogan and telling some pretty incredible stories there. I want to get into that also, since I think it's sort of symbolic of the rest of the country and the inexplicable nature of the left. Really, maybe that's the way to put it. We showed the video already. The front runner of the California governor's race is this woman, socialist woman. And the first thing I saw about her was the video that I played last week of her basically saying, what's the big deal if homeless people are 500 feet away or 10 feet away from your kid's elementary school? And the whole crowd she's addressing boos, and then she gives the biggest, most dramatic eye roll ever. And so in that way, I think it's symbolic or emblematic of what's happening to America at large. On one side, you have just genuine idiots who are going to make your life safer and just like think it's hilarious when you protest, when you say, hey, I don't want homeless people shooting up drugs inside my children's elementary school. And they give you the dramatic, exaggerated eye roll. Okay. Oh, sorry. I guess you don't want people shooting up inside your elementary school. Hoity-toity bourgeois attitude about homeless felons and your children. And it's like, who's going to vote for this person? And the answer is like half of our country. Half of our country. I don't, you know, God bless them, but what the hell is wrong with them? And what do we have to do to wake them up? I mean, I can understand if it's a golden-tongued, you know, seductress that just says all the right things, but they're voting for people that are just like, we're going to take all your money and give your children to felons. And people are just like, but I'm racist if I don't vote for you. Okay, you get my vote then. I don't like it, but here we go. It's like, this is retarded. In a word, you got to fight the retards. We'll be right back.
Draft politicians for World War III, like Lindsey Graham and Ben Shapiro. Let's send them to the front lines. You can get this shirt and other incredible designs at thealexjonesstore.com, which also funds the new network, the Alex Jones Network, where you'll find my live feeds, the other great shows, special reports, investigative reports, and more at the new coordinates of liberty, alexjoneslive.com. And share that URL as well. You are the modern Paul Revere's. And then, of course, download on Android and Apple the free apps so you can watch the show and more and share it at alexjonesapp.com. Now, I'll see you on the front lines of the InfoWar.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.
The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live on the Alex Jones Network. That's alexjoneslive.com, alexjoneslive.com. Share that link. It's the new home of the old site, and we've got all the articles there, all the videos there, streaming there, of course, streaming on Rumble app as well. War Room Live. You can follow us on X at War Room Show. And please do your part in sharing this information as we cover this stuff. And I think we will start with California, old California, and the way that Spencer Pratt is really, he really has an opportunity to do something incredible here, which is win as a conservative in LA and fix all of the problems that could so easily be fixed if just absolutely anybody felt like trying. Yeah, we're going to have to talk about this and break it down a little bit. And we'll start with a little bit of a longer video from Spencer Pratt, but I think it's worth it to show the whole thing because he really breaks down like who the left is and who the Democrats are, and that this is the establishment now. Like, the people we're talking about are not the radicals. They are radical, but they're not the fringe. They're not the, you know, crazy people that aren't welcomed in the Democratic in crowd. This is the Democratic in crowd and the premier examples of Democratic politicians here in America today are open and avowed communists. Now, they might disguise that as they need to in order to get elected because they are relentlessly dishonest, and they know full well. They are perfectly aware that if they were honest about their intentions, honest about their views, honest about their policies, nobody would vote for them. And so they actually see it as a virtue to lie because, you know, obviously they know better than everybody else. Obviously, all of their talk about democracy is absolute bullcrap. And they want to impose upon you whatever they think is best for you, regardless of your opinion in the matter. So if they have to lie to you to get you to give them the power so they can then wield it in whichever way that they want, a way that you would have never allowed them to get the power if you knew that's how it was going to be used. We've seen this with Alison Spanberger. We've heard major Democratic Party operatives like James Carville advocate for this, basically say, yeah, you got to lie. You got to lie to the people. You got to just pretend you're a moderate, pretend you're normal, pretend you're not a radical, avowed communist in order to get elected, because only by doing that are we going to get the communism and socialism that these people want to shove down our throats. So this is Spencer Pratt, clip number one, talking about Karen Bass being a complete and total and literal communist. Let's watch.
Sura is a communist. Now, when I was 19, 20, I was living in an apartment on Skid Row, getting my political science degree at USC. That's as LA as it gets, dude. But do you know what Karen Masura was doing at that age? You guessed it, going to Cuba to support the communist revolution and Fidel Castro's oppressive regime. What? Karen Basura is a card-carrying member of the communist front group, the Venceremos Brigade, an anti-American communist solidarity organization in which she actively worked for years to undermine the U.S. and prop up the communist revolution in Cuba? Does this sound normal to you? Who in the heck spends their 20s supporting a violent communist dictatorship in a foreign country? What were you doing at 19 years old? Some reports have shown that Karen Basura's communist organization was actually involved in intelligence training ops on behalf of the Cuban regime, and some of the members actually bombed the U.S. Capitol in 1983. There's a legitimate possibility that Karen Basura is a literal communist spy, which actually might explain why such an experienced politician has been so effective at destroying America's greatest city in just a few short years. Well, now you know what her experience is. Some of you may not remember, but she was actually the front runner to become Joe Biden's VP pick for 2020. But that went up in flames almost immediately once people dug up her commie past and saw her foreign sympathies in statements following Fidel Castro's death when she called it a great loss. She used to refer to Castro as comandante en jefe. And for those of you who don't habla español, that means commander in chief. Now, I don't know about you, but the president of the United States is always my commander in chief. But not Karen Basura. Her commander in chief is the communist dictator of Cuba. Right now, Cuba's in the news because the oppressed people who have suffered under the horrific communist regime are rising up to fight for freedom. You'll notice how much Latino immigrants and especially Cuban immigrants hate communism because they know firsthand how evil communism is. They have experienced the empty store shelves, the decrepit infrastructure, the choking censorship and surveillance, the secret police thugs, the death and destruction that Fidel Castro and other commie dictators ushered in. Communism is responsible for more mass death in just the last century than anything else in the history of the world. Over 100 million people have been killed by communist regimes in China, Cambodia, the Soviet Union, from forced famines, purges, gulags. Communism is an evil, anti-human ideology dressed up as some idealistic form of equity and fairness, and yet somehow it always ends up with millions of people dying in forced labor camps or starving to death. Communism is just a religion of malcontents where instead of worshiping in a righteous God, they worship the state. And whatever the state says goes. We don't learn enough about the evil scourge on our planet, and communism is genuinely evil. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It preys upon the malcontents of society to fuel the revolution. But America never fell victim to this ideology. We didn't have enough malcontents to fuel the revolution in America. You had the ability to actually work your way into the American dream. You could buy a home, have your own slice of American soil, raise a family, speak freely, worship freely. But now, as that gets more and more out of reach for young Americans, and especially young Californians and Angelinos, there's a growing population of malcontents, angry, jaded, cynical. And that is exactly the fertilizer that communists like Karen Basura use to seed the revolution. Notice how the riots are increasing. Burning cars, smashing businesses, looting, stopping the freeway, attacking police officers. You all can see communism starting to take root because lifelong communists like Karen Basura have made life harder and harder here, and that is on purpose. Well, guess what, Karen? This ain't your Cuban commie kibbutz you're running. This is Los Angeles. This is America. I still believe in the American dream, and I'm not going to let you turn L.A. into your tribute to your comandante en jefe, Fidel Castro. Our Latino brothers and sisters have seen the evils of communism, and they are done with it. So let me help you out, Karen. I'll take your job, and you can go retire in Havana. We are going to restore the dream that Los Angeles used to be. Go to mayorpratt.com and donate. Support my campaign. And unlike the communists like Karen, who want to take your money, I want to earn your money. And I will make it my life's mission to earn your support as mayor of Los Angeles.
Just absolutely incredible stuff from Spencer Pratt. Again, I think obviously he'd probably make a great mayor. I think when you compare him to the two people he's running against, Karen Bass and this socialist woman, there's just no question. But even more important than that, he gives the argument against communism that you almost never hear. People say communism is bad. Like, we stopped educating people as to why communism's bad, and we just kind of expect them to get it. Now, those of us who actually enjoy history and read history and look at the way that, you know, human society responds to some of the claims made from the foundational texts of communism, like, it's obvious why communism's bad. We don't even necessarily need it explained to us. It's just imminently apparent once you think about it for a little while. It is totally contrary to human nature and can never work. But people need to learn that. People need to be told that. Because the reality is exactly as Spencer Pratt just laid out, and it's the argument I've made for a very long time, and I always relate it back to a book by Mario Puzo, who wrote The Godfather, and he wrote another book sort of related to The Godfather. And I always talk about this one passage in the book where the guy in Italy, the Italian, is saying, look, I understand why people gravitate towards communism. It's the only political ideology that promises to pull them up out of poverty, that says, hey, this, you know, feudal system that has you trapped as a peasant, like, we're going to shatter it and uplift you. So of course people are going to go over to it. But then he says communism is the only one that makes that promise, except for America. Except for America. America was always the promised land for breaking out of these old world sort of calcified social structures. We didn't need communism. It was not like there was no possible way to break out of these old calcified structures except for communism. No, Americanism was the way. Americanism said and fulfilled its promise of, you come here, you work hard, you obey the law, and you will succeed. You will do well. You will, if you're capable, rise to that higher bracket, rise to that, you know, supreme class of people. Like, it totally shattered the whole class paradigm. And in America, it made it all kind of ridiculous. And that's what we've lost. We've lost that by incrementally moving away from that, incrementally moving away from capitalism, moving away from self-sufficiency, moving towards dependency, moving towards, you know, government control. That's why everything is worse. We haven't become more conservative since the 60s, right? We haven't become more traditional in our culture since the glory days, which just get more and more glorious the farther and farther you go back. Like, it's a direct, it's not like we had like, oh, we had a really good time in the 50s and not a great time in the 70s and the 80s were really great. No, it's been basically a total downhill collapse. I mean, depending on what exactly you measure by. The problem is that we almost exclusively measure success of the nation by GDP, which is completely divorced from, if not at odds with, the actual well-being of the people in the country. So we've had decade upon decade of ever-rising GDP while our quality of life has ever diminished. And I don't think that's particularly a coincidence. But if you don't make these arguments, of course people are going to go with the socialists. Of course they're going to go with the communists because, you know, just like Italy, you know, trying to break out of the feudal system, there's only one side that is making the argument and appealing to the people who are affected negatively by the current economic construct of America, or the world for that matter. So, of course, you got all these people saying, I went to school forever, I have all of this debt, now I'm having to live in my car, I can't get a job. And of course, we know that for the last 10 years, especially white Christian men have been severely discriminated against in the marketplace. And, well, really white, all white people, but white men especially, but white women as well, have been totally screwed over and by the system that deliberately discriminates against them. Now, when they look around and go, what the hell is this? Why am I not getting the reward for my hard work? Why am I not, you know, getting the other end of the deal? I fulfilled my part. I did what I was supposed to do. And now a bunch of less qualified people from other countries are taking the jobs that should be set aside for me. This is outrageous. This is ridiculous. And the Republicans look over at them and say, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. I did it. You can too. Not realizing that, or not acknowledging that, the economic situation is so vastly, unrecognizably different than it was when they were young. You have to have empathy for these people. And you have to explain that the reason the economy sucks is because socialists have been in charge for a while. the reason you can't get a job is because of anti-white, you know, racially motivated, hateful, socialist, equality-driven crypto-communists have destroyed our economy in an effort to destroy you. And that the reason everything sucks now is because we've gone so much more towards the left, and the left makes everything worse every single time their policies are adopted. And then they transmute the, you know, suffering and misery that they cause into more people on their side, because they're the ones saying, hey, if everything sucks, that's because this old capitalist system, come with us and we'll revolutionize it. And the people join them, not realizing that the actual reason they're suffering is because of these people in the first place. So Spencer Pratt actually makes that argument. He actually lays out like why communism is a death cult and why it has to be argued against. And think about it. He said, and I totally believe him, that this Karen Bass woman, who he calls Karen Basura, which is very clever, I think, very catchy. It's going to be hard for me not to start saying that every time I say Karen Bass, Karen Basura, that she was going to be the vice presidential candidate of the United States. Do you think that's, you know, a coincidence? I think the only reason she's not is because she wasn't careful enough at hiding her past. If she had the exact same past, but it was easily, you know, pushed to the side and covered up and, you know, like Obama's birth certificate style, just like, yeah, it's illegal to talk about that, actually, shut up. Then she probably would have still been the vice presidential candidate. She still is the mayor of the second largest city, possibly the most important city in America, L.A., and has systematically destroyed the entire city piece by piece. And then Kamala Harris comes out yesterday and says she has eliminated homelessness and crime in California. And Spencer Pratt just publishes a compilation of just how false that is. So yeah, these people are ruining our country. These people have and are destroying our country. And again, Spencer Pratt comes out with another video where he makes such a good proactive argument. And maybe this is why I like Spencer Pratt so much, is because he's not a conservative in the traditional sense, as in he's not somebody who is trying to roll back the clock on sort of the cultural things. Like, he's not as focused on that. He's focused on the things that would actually conserve our culture, which is just like basic law and order, and not in a way that's like, oh, we have to constantly defend against the constant encroachment of our rights by the left. But in saying, no, we have to be proactive, I'm going to turn around and attack the left. He said, I'm going to have the IRS in the city hall, you know, to investigate all of the fraud that's gone on. And he's sort of just gone on and on about stuff like that, just saying, we're not, like, we don't have to take this and we don't have to justify our opposition. That's another thing that, like, really wish people would get through their head. You do not need to justify why you deserve a country. It's outrageous and insulting that anybody would ask you to justify your continuing existence. Do you realize how insulted you should be if somebody says, well, why? Why shouldn't, you know, Muslims be able to create their own cities in America? What, do you do it for Christians? You don't want to do it for Muslims? The answer is, yeah, yes, that's right, correct. We want to do it for Christians and not Muslims. Why? Because we're Christian and not Muslim, that's why. Why? Because we don't want you here. That's why. We don't need an excuse. We don't have to provide them a reason. They are imposing on us. We can simply say no, say get the hell out of here. Say you do not have a right to impose yourself on us, and we do not need to give you a reason why. That's crazy. So here's Spencer Pratt. Again, let's go to clip number two here. Talking about what he wants to do, his proactive positive message that he's running on, which you would have to be a psychopath to disagree with. Let's watch.
You know, as I've been campaigning, the thing that has impacted me the most is meeting hundreds and hundreds of moms. And they're the most activated people in Los Angeles right now. And you know why? Because they don't feel safe. Moms send me messages with stories and videos that are so disturbing. If I were to share them on my accounts, they'd get banned. Crazy drug addicts exposing themselves to their children. Hardcore drug use, assaults. It's shocking what LA moms have to endure because of the reckless policies of Karen Bass and Nithya Raman, who really just don't care about their concerns. It's really shifted my vision in a very real way. I'm realizing that my true mission as mayor is to protect our moms. They need to feel safe. They're scared to just walk their baby stroller to the park and enjoy the weather. They're scared to grab their mobile order at Starbucks. They're on pins and needles sending their kids off to school. I'm sorry, but how have we accepted this? As a man, as a father, nothing is more important than the safety of my children and my wife. Women and children first. We have that maxim for a reason. It's true in an emergency, and it's true for this election. Women and children first. If I accomplish nothing else as mayor, it will be to make moms and their kids feel safe in the city of Los Angeles again.
That's so funny. It's so funny that he uses the term women and children first, because it's sort of the great, you know, clap back to feminism, where it's like, wait, you think our culture is sexist? We literally have a policy where men have to stand and drown on a sinking boat if there's, you know, space for women and children. Like, that's the culture you're trying to replace, is the women and children first culture with whatever else is. Yeah, so this video, Spencer Pratt recorded at his Palisades home shortly before the fire. He said it was one of the last, if not the last, video he filmed before it. And obviously, it makes him look like a freaking Disney princess, which is, I think, probably good for the, you know, general approval rating. But even more impactful to me is the fact that, yeah, the Palisades looked like a freaking Garden of Eden. I've never seen that many hummingbirds in one place. You know, in my backyard, we're lucky if we get one or two. Certainly not getting that close to us. Certainly not swarms of them. And so it just goes to show you, like, look at the Palisades now, just desiccated ash heap versus what it was, which was clearly this just explosion of life and, you know, verdant growth. And it's just, again, it's symbolic. I feel like it really is symbolic, where you've got the guy who's actually just the regular dude living in this place that is just, you know, beautiful and took decade upon decade upon decade of, you know, careful management to arrive at this really special sort of neighborhood. And you remember after the fires, we had on Devin Tracy, also known as Atheism is Unstoppable. He lost his family home. And just the way you described the neighborhood is just this idyllic, classic Americana, like the place where, you know, some of our favorite movies were filmed. And so it's just, it was the face of America. It was the ideal of America. And under the Democrats, it has been burned to ash by the way, an environmental arsonist. And I'll show you the videos of that guy in a little bit later. But all of the wealth and all of the beauty and all of the nature consumed by fire that never should have spread, never should have started, should have been able to be defeated with just basic proper governmental management. Keep the water ready for you. Have people on staff ready to deal with an emergency if you feel like, I don't know, running off to Africa for some reason in the middle of a fire, you know, disaster zone. And of course, we played the video last week of Mayor Bass being recorded before the fire when she was asked, hey, will you come out as LA mayor and make a statement about fire safety, because we're in a really dangerous condition right now and a press conference could really get a lot of attention and a lot of awareness and possibly help, you know, prevent the next wildfire. And she says some very suspicious things, saying, I can't really talk to you about it right now, but just wait and see. Just hold on and you'll see. And I don't want to, you know, cause too much worry and suspicion by coming out and talking. And her response literally makes no sense at all until you realize that the whole place burned 2 days later. And then you're like, did she know that it was going to burn? Because that would explain the answer she gave. So I guess the choice is up to California. I mean, do you go with the psychotics that let your city burn and literally despise you and roll their eyes at your basic safety? Or are you going to vote for the guy that's like, I'm going to protect women and children from these psychos?
I have been very blessed and honored in 32 years on air and 28 years of InfoWars to have seen the whole world change. When I first got started, almost nobody knew about the globalists. People were literally in the dark. Look how far we've come. We are exposing them. Jeffrey Epstein, the pedophile rings, the poison COVID shots, the open borders, the global wars, the 5G, all of it is coming out. Humanity is rallying. This is the fourth turning. This is the great awakening. It is the answer to their great reset. I am so proud of humanity, and I'm so thankful to all the viewers and listeners who over the years have supported us by prayer, word of mouth, and financial support at thealexjonesnetwork.com. So InfoWars has been shut down, but we've launched the Alex Jones Network. We plan to crank this sucker up. We got new studios, they're even bigger, being built, and we want to go 19 hours a day live by the end of 2026 from 5 a.m. until midnight. So if I build it, will you come? Yes, I know you will. So now more than ever, go to thealexjonesstore.com and get incredible supplements. Our methylene blue is the best. Our methylene red is proprietary. Our bovine colostrum, the widest selection of Patriot Apparel, incredible collectible knives, and so much more. You are literally financing the tip of the spear and the resistance that the tyrants and the globalists hate above everything else. InfoWars is a proven winner. They have a URL. They have an old studio. That means nothing. You are the InfoWar. And if you accept this mission, if you take action, if you spread the word, if you share our links, AlexJonesLive.com, the news site, the live feeds, the articles, the videos, it's incredible. If you share the feed with everybody you know at AlexJonesApp.com, the free Droid or Apple download of the app, it is insane. All the power lies with you. That's why when callers call in and thank me, I say, thank me. I would fight this no matter what. I'd fight it in a ditch. I'd fight if I was homeless. We're all in this together. You have all the power, but you have to use the power now. Share the feeds to AlexJonesLive.com. Share the URL, AlexJonesApp.com. And go to thealexjonesstore.com with the widest selection of Patriot apparel to wear your uniform of liberty openly and proudly. It's such an adventure to wear this apparel and to get the incredible supplements that will empower your life so you'll know how real this is. I only sell stuff that really works, so I want you to get it and take it and love it and have a great response. We have a 90+% reorder rate. So many of you are on the fence. Take action now. Step into a wider world. Go to thealexjonesstore.com today and support this broadcast. But regardless, take the feed, take the live links at alexjoneslive.com/show and on Rumble and Relox Shows on X, the Alex Jones Show on Rumble, and share those links, and it changes the world. You are unstoppable when you decide to get up at the plate and take action. This is real. This isn't hype. You've seen the results. Now the ball's in your court. AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. Take action. You are the reincarnation of Paul Revere. You are unstoppable. The globalists are in deep crap. Take action now at AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. And I want to be clear. I don't own the AlexJonesStore.com. Bigly, that owns the Alex Jones Network, does. We've got a major deal with Rumble to push our information. It's already top on Rumble, but to supercharge it. The most important coordinate in this fight is rumble.com/Alex Jones Live. rumble.com/Alex Jones Live. We are already at the top of Rumble, but we're going to go even further partnering with them. This is the coordinates of liberty. Take action right now at rumble.com/Alex Jones Live, and we are unstoppable. The power of humanity is unstoppable if you simply unleash it now.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I got a lot of videos to show you, and I want to talk about what's going on with the Iran war. Some interesting developments have occurred there, as well as data centers and just all of the other ways that the powers that be are very obviously and systematically and in an overwhelming fashion destroying our ability to survive off the bounty of nature and want instead absolutely everything to be industrialized and commodified so they can sell back God's bounty to us in exchange for our subservience to them. We never had to make such a deal with God. He just gave it to us for free, but they've decided that we have to earn it from them. And we're not going to let that happen, and we have to be proactive in this, and we have to fight back against them with everything we've got, because it's a combination of Zionism and communism communism and socialism to weaken our countries with Zionism there as a almost sacred right for Israel to exist. And these two things combined give you basically the blueprint for globalism. I believe we have one more video of Spencer Pratt where he's talking to Joe Rogan. And guys, we can bring that one up. I'll just finish off with the Spencer Pratt coverage, although I'm not seeing it in the list, so I may just have to tell you what he said. It's a pretty amazing statement, though. Oh, here it is, number 7. When Karen Bass was in Ghana, you know, when Los Angeles was burning to the ground, there was a deputy mayor that she had left in charge to deal with any problems that might arise in her absence. Here's Spencer Pratt saying why that wasn't exactly the best way to organize things on Joe Rogan. Let's watch.
Here's really the best part. You know when the mayor was in Ghana as everything was burning down? Do you know who she left in charge? Her deputy mayor? Do you know where the deputy mayor was? The deputy mayor, Mayor Karen Bass's deputy mayor, was on house arrest because he was arrested for calling in a bomb threat to City Hall. This is real life. This is the person that's supposed to take the call because she's in Africa.
Why did he call in a bomb threat to City Hall?
Great question. So that's who the type of people we're dealing with. So when they're like, oh, Spencer, you don't have the experience to be mayor. Well, I promise my deputy mayors that I have on deck, they aren't calling in any bomb threats to City Hall. So we're already starting ahead of the curve. Also, I'm not going in to steal taxpayer money. I'm going in to stop all this. So again, I really believe there's enough common sense people that see that I'm not doing politics. I don't want to do any of this. Politics it's a job. These people are career politicians. I never wanted to be a career politician. Before my house burned down, I was selling my healing crystals. They, just to be clear, they have no magical powers. They all burned in my house. So anybody, you know, you're buying them, they, you know, I thought that I had protection energy. They don't. So, you know, and feeding hummingbirds and taking my kids to school. That was my dream life. And they burned it down. And now they have their worst nightmare coming to just undo the whole thing.
Former Los Angeles Deputy Mayor of Public Safety agrees to plead guilty to threatening to bomb L.A. City Hall last year. Now, what was the reason? Brian K. Williams, 61 of Pasadena, is charged in a single count information with threats regarding fire and explosives.
It doesn't have a reason, but it says what he did.
You know, I don't think there's ever a good reason.
Well, you know? I mean, I would like to hear his reason. Bomb threat. I received a call on my city cell phone at 10:48 this morning. The mail caller stated that he was tired of the city's support of Israel, and he's decided to place a bomb in City Hall. So that's it. It might be in the rotunda. I immediately contacted the so it was about Israel. Wow.
I think he made it up. Up here it says that he used his Google Voice application on his personal cell phone to place a call to his city-issued cell phone.
Wow.
He then left the meeting and called the chief of staff.
Mayor Bass.
Is that guy still employed? Find out if that guy's still employed.
So, I mean, this is your country, your state, your city under leftist control. They're literally just rampant criminals. I don't know what else to tell you. Like, everything they do is criminal. Absolutely everything. I mean, the calling the bomb squad, that's just like a sort of extra special moment, but everything these people do is or should be criminal. Whether it's giving out our money by the billions of dollars or handing out drugs to homeless people, like, it's completely insane. And again, the front runner of the California race is the woman who, and I know the crew's been, the only thing that's been a little bit rough about this transition to the Alex Jones Network is just the systems that we had that were so dialed in the old studio of like gathering news and doing all that. We're struggling a little bit here just as we're going to, as we, you know, are trying to shift absolutely everything over. So I appreciate the crew, working hard on everything. And I don't mean to throw something else at you, but since I keep mentioning it, maybe it would be nice to see the woman roll her eyes when basically people boo her for saying, what's the big deal with homeless people living on campus at your elementary school? Which, by the way, there are now schools in L.A., I believe, being sued because a little girl was sexually assaulted by a random man who wandered into an elementary school and assaulted her. And good, they, you know, they need to be sued at the very least for allowing this type of stuff to happen. Yeah, that's the one. Oh, does Spencer Pratt respond to it? That's great. I'd like to see Spencer Pratt's response to her. Because it's just one of those things. It's like, you know, I'm used to, like, when I grew up, there was a time where one mistake by a politician, and, like, that was it. I remember that guy, Dean, Howard Dean. You remember him? Probably not if you're younger than me, because he one time let out a scream that was so embarrassing, he disappeared. It was one single, hee-ah! And it went so viral and was so negative, he just vanished. He dissolved like the Wicked Witch. It was amazing. Nobody's ever heard from him again. That's how it used to be. And now it's like this woman sits here and says, I don't know why you people want homeless people 500 feet away from your schools. What's the big deal? And everybody like boos her. Like, what are you talking about? No, we don't want homeless drug addict felon weirdos covered in feces leering at my children through the fence. Why would we want that? So, of course, people boo her and her response is to roll her eyes. And it's like that alone. How is anybody ever going to vote for her? Again, this isn't her, you know, almost any other topic. You know, you could almost see like, all right, I don't agree, but they have a totally different view than me. And like, whatever, it's, you know, it's at least understandable, at least makes cognitive sense. You know, if she was up there going, you know, the immigrants are the real Americans. It's like, okay, that's stupid beyond belief, but I understand how people could be indoctrinated into that view. And it's like, okay, you can make an argument, even though it's a bad one that loses, there is still an argument to be. What is the argument to be made for putting homeless people in your elementary school? What is the positive for that? Like, that's what I mean. How can you have a woman rolling her eyes at the idea of child safety? And she's the front runner. And she's a socialist that is a multi-millionaire, by the way. And people just see no problem with this. No problem at all. She literally rolls her eyes at the idea that you don't want anonymous homeless people having access to your elementary school, your child's elementary school. It's crazy, but this is where we are, I guess, now. Do we have that Spencer Pratt response? Because I do want to see what he said about. All right, let's watch Spencer Pratt respond to this woman rolling her eyes at the idea that parents don't want homeless people in their children's elementary school. Let's watch.
Like, I don't think a kid's going to be safer because a tent is 500 feet away from a school. You know,
Crazy Councilwoman Nithya Raman saying it doesn't matter if homeless drug addicts are shooting up, defecating, and exposing themselves to your kids right in front of their schools. Not only did she just vote against clearing encampments again in Venice 2 weeks ago, when you, the concerned mom, voice your objections, she rolls her eyes and says, whatever. This radical socialist is a serious threat to your kids, and she must be stopped from being mayor. Lord only knows how much worse she will get with that power.
Yeah, very good response. It's exactly right. And again, just like L.A. schools are such a disaster. It is truly insane. I was trying to look up the story of the, you know, illegal immigrant who raped a 9-year-old girl because the school just let him in, let him go shopping, I guess, for whatever, you know, unprotected kid having to wander into his grip. Well, even as I'm searching that, it's just like I forgot about all the other revelations. $200 million and more in taxpayer payouts after LAUSD kids were repeatedly abused. Sexual abuse, sexual assaults, plus sick tasting game feeding predators fluids. What the hell? Union and system protected itself, hid secrets from parents, demanded more money. Wake up, California. Protect children now. So, yeah, the Los Angeles School District total payout surpassed $200 million in settlements tied to the sexual abuse of students at Miramont Elementary School by former teacher Mark Berndt, who was sentenced to prison in 2013. But the latest that I saw was that something like 17% of the kids in LA schools experience some form of sexual molestation while they're there. It's horrifying, but who's doing anything about it? And they have a whole system, kind of like the Catholic Church had, where if a complaint came up, the teacher would just quietly be moved to another school so they could continue to offend and not cause any trouble for the school system itself. Totally sick. But like, this is LA school systems. This is who is teaching your children. And it's not just LA, by the way. Don't get confused. It is across the country. We can go down to clip number 14. Chicago public schools bust at least 35 schools and up to 100 schools. We don't even know how many schools, I guess, were involved in this May Day protest against Trump indoctrinating kids to be far left activists and be rewarded for it and celebrated for it. Let's watch clip 14.
So what we know is that CPS agreed to provide buses and lunches for at least or up to 100 schools. Now, there was a lot of red tape that they had to go through in order to get there. But we know that there are many schools, at least 35, that are confirmed busing kids during the school day to a park for a partisan political rally. So, yeah. It's really messed up. It's high schools, and we do believe that a couple of elementary schools are participating.
We see kids getting off the bus right now. These kids are being bused into protests, United States of America. You can see behind me, this is what's happening. We don't just have kids being bused into protests here. We've got them with megaphones. We've got them with posters. Were they making the posters during school hours? Probably. Look at how young some of these kids are. This is middle school, elementary school. So many megaphones.
Who paid for all those?
This isn't a conspiracy theory. That when you hear that they're indoctrinating the kids, this is not a conspiracy.
Using taxpayer dollars to fund activism for elementary school and middle school kids to go protest against the government about things that they couldn't possibly understand or have a, you know, educated and enlightened view on. It's pure indoctrination, just abject indoctrination. And of course, we know that basically all protests in this country are manufactured at this point. If you have a real protest, well, you'll end up like January 6th. That's when people without, you know, orchestration, without hundreds of millions of dollars from major leftist organizations get together and protest and actually petition their government for a redress of grievances as laid out in the First Amendment. You see what happens. They get pepper sprayed. They get shot with less than lethal weapons. They get forced into the police line. Riots ensue. And the federal government does a shock and awe campaign to arrest everybody involved. When the left protests, the schools send buses to bus children to the protest. Are you seeing a little bit of a difference here? Are you seeing a little bit of a incongruity and a disequality beyond inequality? Again, do you want more? Because I got more stuff about the LA school system or school systems around the country, about the indoctrination that our kids are being subjected to, how it's being done with taxpayer money. I mean, it's outrageous. I'm telling you, and let's go to clip 12 here, because that's a little bit long. We won't go to that one here. But the May Day was just, it was a gigantic, well-funded operation across the whole country with the school, whatever they call unions involved, sending kids out, training them to get ready for this. But we've been explaining for a while, and I never know exactly how much importance to put on this, because we have so much stuff going on right now. We have so much stuff that's just like immediately threatening. But we know that the United Auto Workers Union and every other major union in America is planning on a massive literal communist revolution on May 1st, 2028. Again, I've only seen two people talk about this, myself and Carlin Borishenko. Got the name right that time. And this is something I noticed and talked about. And she was like, yeah, dude, they've been playing this for a while. But you've got every major union in the country all collaborating so that their contracts expire on May 1st, 2028. And their stated intention, their open and avowed plan, is to use this opportunity to shut the entire economy down as a hostage situation until they get the political demands that they want. Again, I don't know what our country's doing. I don't know what our federal government is doing about this. But this is the world that we live in now, where left-wingers, communists, can be planning 2 years in advance. We are going to do a communist revolution on the 1st of May, 2028. And I'll shout about it, and Carlin will shout about it. A few other people will make noise about it. Nothing will get done about it. And when May 1st comes, it'll be a crisis. It'll be a disaster. Everybody will be surprised. These people are making plans 2 years in advance. They have 2 years of checklists to get to that ultimate revolution. And that is absolutely what it is. Go look at the German Revolution of 1918. Go look how the Bolsheviks carried out their revolution in 1914. This is the playbook. It's insinuate yourself into the most important industries, use the unions of those industries to shut down production, bring the economy to a grinding halt, and say we demand universal health care and income redistribution, basically a laundry list of communist talking points, and say we're not opening up the economy until you give in to our demands. That's what they're planning on doing. Now, they do not have a right to do that. This is not a democratic process to utilize their position as supposed to be a union representative, just trying to get the best, you know, negotiation platform for their employees. No, they're using it as political organizing to overthrow the duly elected government of the United States and impose communist rule. So we got to stop them. And what happened on May Day this year is just a preview and a practice run. They'll have another one in 2027. And then come 2028, it will be all hands on deck, full bore. It'll be George Floyd meets May Day meets January 6th, all rolled into one. Only the communists will be destroying our country economically. And the media will be, of course, on their side and acting like this is a brave stand against a racist and capitalistic society. So they're preparing, they're training, and they're indoctrinating your kids to be involved and to be active participants in this. That's the warning that everybody needs to hear. And again, I do have more videos about all this stuff, but we'll have to get to it. We'll have to get to it a little bit later. Although I guess since we're on California, we were just talking about California, let's go to clip number 11 here. This goes perfectly in line with what the show yesterday was mainly about. Yesterday on Sunday Night Live, I went through a lot of the ways in which the Iran war, the fertilizer collapse, the data centers, it's all combining to basically totally deprive us of the natural bounty of the earth. Like, they're going after our water, they're going after our food. They're setting up the conditions in which rationing becomes justifiable. And as soon as rationing becomes justifiable, it becomes a tool in their toolkit to suppress and or destroy you. So yesterday we showed that a Virginia homeowner put in a FOIA request about his own backyard and saw that at some point a government program had flown a drone over his backyard, taking pictures and video, and had labeled him a suspected food producer. Now, I genuinely and what's happening in Oregon is very similar. If you have a puddle on your land, they will call it a lake, call it a waterway, and claim that they have jurisdiction over it. They're passing laws to prevent people from gardening in their backyard, saying that your backyard garden is a farm and therefore requires special permits to do it. What would motivate anybody to do any of this is my question. Sometimes things just happen and nobody even gives a reason or an excuse or a justification for it because there isn't one. Who is going to, like, sit down with literally anybody and say, what is the threat of a backyard garden? Who would be against a backyard garden? There's only one reason you'd be against a backyard garden. It's because you don't want those people to eat. What other reason could there possibly be? Do they think they're missing out on tax revenue? What tax revenue? It's a backyard garden. Because you don't go to the store and buy the food, so they can't tax it, so they're just like trying to squeeze that extra cent from you. I don't think they're hurting that much for money. I think it's about preventing you from feeding yourself. I think it is about forcing you not to go to the store, but to go to the government distribution center, scan your digital ID, and get your allotted cornmeal for the month, as long as you're not white and privileged and clearly have to starve to death as repentance for the sins of your ancestors. I mean, that's the type of stuff that's going to be unrolled in, you know, probably before May 1st, 2028. And I don't know what other excuse there could possibly be for going after people's backyard gardens. There's no excuse. Just like there's no excuse for why they're building the data centers. Nobody's even tried to explain it. Nobody has ever once sat down and said, if we don't build these data centers, everybody's going to die. That's why they get all of the land and all of the farmland and all of the water and all of the resources and all of the energy components. Like, why? Why would we do this? I don't think it's worth, I don't think these data centers are worth anything. I don't want them to exist at all. But what is the payoff that we're getting in exchange for all of our fresh water going to these places? And California's one of the worst when it comes to data centers. But let's go to clip 11 here. This is Gavin Newsom with an NGO that is basically stealing all your water. Let's watch.
The Nature Conservancy, who initially helped broker the deal to shove farmers off of their ranches and dairies in Point Reyes, is now cashing in on the deal. They're going to be granted $2.7 million to quote-unquote help rewild Point Reyes. And of that money, only $78,000 is going to the actual project itself. The rest is in wages for planning and indirect expenses. Complete bogus. On top of that, the letter wields supporters. And of those supporters are those people that we need to be aware of, including Congressman Huffman, who has shown his true colors and is clearly against agriculture. On top of that, Lily Verdone, who is the executive director of MALT, is also in support of this. MALT, if you don't know, is an organization that's supposed to help preserve agriculture. But yet she's a previous TNC employee and clearly on the wrong side of the lines in this battle. I know I don't want people like Congressman Huffman on the board because he is clearly in support of the deterioration of agriculture across our state. And he is time and time again taking out farms. We don't want people like him wielding power. Let's keep people like him out of office.
Across the whole world, farms are being destroyed, and there's a reason.
Well, we feel really good that we're one step closer to achieving one of the primary goals that the families had when they brought this litigation, which was to prevent Alex Jones from ever inflicting the kind of harm at scale that he had inflicted upon them.
We look forward to infesting your social media feeds with caricatures and grotesqueries of the very people who have ruined our media ecosystem over the last 10 years.
I am going to make a big announcement right now, and that might affect our relationship, Ben. I am pledging myself to Satan and to the Prince of Darkness.
Oh, I read about this last night on a website.
After a decade of trying to shut us down and spending hundreds of millions of dollars to do it, believe they will be successful shutting us down Thursday night at midnight. But we're starting the Alex Jones Network. And the coordinates of the next phase of the info war is alexjoneslive.com. So if you want to stand against the tyrants and against the censors and against the globalists and against their goal to shut us down, share that URL in your whole email list, your text message list, all over X, Facebook, TikTok, everywhere else. The coordinates of the next level, the next phase, the chapter in the fight against the tyrants is alexjoneslive.com. And go to alexjonesapp.com and download on Android or on Apple free the app for the new Alex Jones Live show. that has audio and video feeds, the articles, special reports, and more. The tyrants are counting on you to not take this serious. They're counting on you to not take action. So take action now at alexjoneslive.com and alexjonesapp.com. The ball is in your court. Roll over and submit to tyranny, or stand up and fight 1776 2.0. You're unstoppable. But I know this. The answer to 1984 is 1776. And if they were looking for a fight, they better believe they got one.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live on the Alex Jones Network, alexjoneslive.com. We have some breaking news here. Shots fired near National Mall. Press escorted off North Lawn. The Secret Service reported an officer-involved shooting Monday near the National Mall, which resulted in a response from emergency response teams. The shooting took place at 15th Street and Independence Avenue, adjacent to the Washington Monument. One individual was shot by law enforcement. Their condition is currently unknown, Secret Service wrote in a post on X. Please avoid the area as emergency crews are responding. The White House did not immediately respond to the Hill's request for comment on the incident. It's not clear if the shooting had anything to do with the White House or President Trump, and it took place a fair distance from the White House grounds. The Washington Monument is south of the White House, a little over a mile away. Independence Avenue and 15th Street Southwest is just a few blocks beyond that. Press was immediately escorted off the North Lawn following the gunfire and sheltered in a briefing room. And that's the video that you're seeing there from Alec Lace, journalist being rushed off the North Lawn into the briefing room after Secret Service shot somebody with a gun near the White House. MPD is on the scene of the investigation. They say avoid the area as roads will be closed for several hours. Additional updates will come as information is provided. They say tensions are high around the White House after a man with armed with a gun, a shotgun, and several knives ran past security during the White House Correspondents Association annual dinner a little more than a week ago. The man is suspected of seeking to carry out an assassination attempt against Trump, because he wrote a whole manifesto saying that was his purpose. Trump was at the White House delivering remarks at a small business summit at the time of the report. So, again, we don't have any confirmation that this had anything to do with the White House, but clearly Secret Service was involved, and we just saw from the person who posted the video of the reporters running from the North Lawn that it was a Secret Service involved shooting, which is very suspicious. But this is a regular thing. I mean, it's getting to the point that it's practically daily now, but I think we're going to see an increase of this. I mean, you have the attacker of the White House Correspondents' Dinner, and then like the next day you have somebody discovered sneaking onto Trump's golf course. Here you have this guy. I mean, I'm sure all of these will be downplayed because one of the strategies of the media is to disguise or hide or downplay trends that should be, you know, should actually have political responses to them. But if they don't tell you about them, if they don't draw it for you in your mind that this is a pattern, this is a trend, this needs to be interrupted, then a lot of people have trouble coming to that conclusion on their own. It's the inverse of what the media normally does, which will be to take one instance of one thing happening and then extrapolate it and say, oh my God, this is just evidence of a giant systemic problem that we need major changes to solve. George Floyd being killed or January 6th occurring. It's not like we had a year of conservatives burning down cities that culminated in the great January 6th event. You had a year of leftists burning down cities, it being downplayed continuously, fiery but peaceful. And sure, some buildings burn and some people died, but this is for a non-existent oppression that we're fighting, right? So it's actually good. So they'll downplay the actual riotous trend that's destroying the country. But then you have one instance of one event with right-wingers and it becomes, oh my God, the right-wing violence is out of control. We have to shut them down. So if you're a thinking human being, you shouldn't even need me to explain this to you. There is an increasing attitude of violence on the left that is unhinged and unbridled. and going totally unaddressed by absolutely anybody in power because they're in favor of it. There's a reason that death threats against us don't get removed from Blue Sky, don't get investigated by the FBI. There's a reason that the left is permitted to be as violent and insane as possible, whereas the right wing is constantly surveilled, constantly crushed, even when what we're doing is not violent, not hateful, and we're not trying to assassinate anybody, because the people in power are ginning up and creating the leftist violence because they're on the leftist side, and they understand that power comes at the end of a gun, and they're operating on that maxim. So it's going to get worse until we decide to do something about it, because there's no limiting factor internally.
You're watching AlexJonesLive.com. It was declassified in 2025. The CIA and the FBI, under Obama's command, launched the attacks to shut down the original InfoWars. But InfoWars belongs to the people, and it's stronger than it's ever been. They can't take that away. You are the real power of this operation. So take the link, AlexJonesLive.com, and the link, AlexJonesApp.com, for the free Droid and Apple download, and share it on your email list, your text messages, with everybody you know, and complete strangers. You have all the power. When you call and tell me how great I am, I say, stop. I'm just like you. I want freedom. I need you to get excited about the power you have. And that's what it's all about. They think you're about to shut us down. That is a total lie, ladies and gentlemen. Humanity is unstoppable when we take action. And the coordinates of liberty are AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. Take action now. Share those URLs to everyone you know now, and break the back of the globalist. You're unstoppable, Paul Revere. Take action now.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Alex Jones Network, AlexJonesLive.com, AlexJonesLive.com. Share that URL as much as you possibly can so people know where to find us. And, of course, you can support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. We have a lot of news still to get to. I want to talk about what's going on with Iran as they've attacked the UAE, and there's been some pretty interesting responses from Trump on this. And it looks like the ceasefire, if it ever existed, is pretty much over now. Although Trump launched Operation Freedom, or whatever he's calling it, where they're saying they're going to – they're going to keep the straight clothes, they're going to open it up, whatever he happens to say at that moment, that'll change within 5 minutes. It's all BS, because the point of the Iran war, in my opinion, is both to provide for, you know, greater Israel and the land grab, but also – and almost more importantly, to create the starvation conditions that will permit the global government from instituting rationing, combined with all of the digital ID crap that we're seeing come down the line. So I got to talk about all that. We're going to get into all of that. And I'm not sure. I don't see it here, guys. Do we have the Onion video? Because I do want to address. They mentioned me, but they refused to say my name because, of course. And I thought I would address old Tim Heidecker, because as despicable and evil as the man is, he wants me to work for him. It's very strange. So I'd like to officially and formally reject that offer. But thank you very much. I appreciate it. Guys, we can pull in the Onion video and start at around 14 minutes and 15 seconds. Then we will I'll pause it and respond to old Tim Heidecker. And I don't know if they're going to do another episode of this. I don't know. My guess is that we might never see another episode of this because of how badly this one was received and how badly it did and how unfunny it was and how hard it seemed to be for Tim Heidecker to fill 30 minutes with entertaining material. I know you're not Harrison Smith. You're not Alex Jones. You can't do it 3 or 4 hours a day, every day. You can hardly do it for 2 minutes. I mean, I tried to watch it. I made it about 2 minutes in, and then I just skipped forward until I saw my picture and was like, oh, me. And then I went back and watched this part. So I don't actually know how most of it was, but the first 3 minutes was just they forgot to write jokes. Somebody online was like, you spent $1 million on licensing this, which they didn't. It never went through. But you spent $1 million on lawyers. You hired Tim Heidecker, who's like this, you know, B-list celebrity. But you forgot to write jokes. You forgot to make it funny. You forgot to say anything interesting or compelling or clever whatsoever. Sort of your point, right? I've explained this before. It'd be like you tune into InfoWars and we never talk about geopolitics. It's like, who would listen to us then? That's the point of us existing, is to inform people. So we need to be informative. We need to be educational. We need to have analysis about world events. Otherwise, what are you coming here for? Tim Heidecker is a comedian, and there's no jokes, and nothing is funny. So what is the point of any of this? It's crazy. It's also crazy, and I talked about this yesterday. The Rolling Stones writes the article saying, despite Alex Jones's emergency motion, satirical site The Onion turns over control of InfoWars to comedian and new creative director. What? When they say despite Alex Jones's emergency order, emergency motion, that means despite that motion going through and the court agreeing to the motion and stopping the purchase of InfoWars by The Onion, as far as I understand. And all of this is just my, you know, personal view on all of this. I have absolutely no legal expertise or ability to even understand most of this stuff, but I can respond to Rolling Stone article headlines that are, I mean, it's like hard to even, it's hard to even explain. It's like the lie is just embedded. It's not even a lie itself. It's just like embedded within the rest of the statement where it's like, oh, the satirical side of The Onion turned over InfoWars to Tim Heidecker. And it's like, but they never owned it. What are you talking about? They didn't turn anything over to anybody because they never had it in the first place. Let's go to Tim Heidecker offering me a job. Thanks, Tim. Let's watch.
I have one message now, for specific message for Harrison, Harrison Ford, one of Alex's little toadies. Now,
toadies.
Harrison Ford, I understand that you've been on the air coming at me, going at me, saying slanderous things on Twitter and on your program. And I just want to offer this because we are war fighters.
Now,
hold on.
Let's pause it real quick. I have not said anything defamatory about Tim Heidecker whatsoever. I've said he's not funny. I've said he's a weirdo. I mean, I've insulted him quite a bit, but those are all things that are true and also my opinion. And my name's Harrison Smith. I know you're like afraid to say it for some reason. I don't know why. Say my name, Tim. You have to say my name. You have to say Harrison Smith so people can come find me and learn what it's like to be an actual funny person who actually understands this stuff. Why don't you want them to find me, Tim? Why are you hiding me from them? I want your fans. Give them to me. But you're going to distract by using a famous actor's name. It's Harrison Smith, damn it. Okay, so he's very mad that I've insulted him. I'm not sorry about that, but he's a war fighter, apparently. Again, what is that? Like, what is he going for is what I'm trying to figure out. He's doing like an Alex Jones impression, but he's not actually pretending to be Alex Jones. He calls himself Tim Heidecker. What is he going for? What's even supposed to be funny about this, I guess, is my question. Let's go back to old Tim, the has-been that never was, calling me Harrison Ford because he's afraid to say my real name. Let's watch.
I am also a man of peace and a man of forgiveness. And let me offer you this. The Alex Jones train has left the station, folks. The Alex Jones train, if you're still on that train, well, you're on a road to nowhere, okay?
Trains aren't on roads, Tim.
This Harrison Ford kid is a young kid.
No, I'm not.
He's afforded the opportunity to make some mistakes in life, and
Let's pause it. I guess compared to Tim, I'm a young man. I'm a 36-year-old father of three. This youthful glow that I have, that's because of the supplements we sell at thealexjonesstore.com. Okay? This wasn't the first episode, just a nice little preview, more to come. Oh, great. No, it was bad on purpose, guys. No, trust me. No, this wasn't the real show. You thought this was the real show because we said it was? No. The real show's going to be good. The real show's going to actually be good, guys. Trust me. No, this was just a little thing. We didn't even think it was going to be good. We did it as a joke, actually. Gotcha. You all thought this was the real show, you idiots. Yeah, nobody believes you. This was your show. It was terrible. It was, technically just awful. Like, it really makes you appreciate Alex Jones, doesn't it? Really makes you appreciate the showmanship, the quality of the studios that we have, the effort that we put behind it, the fact that we can actually carry on a thought that people want to hear for more than a couple seconds. But, okay, sorry. He's calling me a young man because of my youthful energy, because of my vivacious attitude, I guess you might say. But no, I'm not very young, actually. I'm 36 years old. I'm the father of three. I've been working here for 9 years, and it's been fun as hell. What's it? Tim Onion, Ben Collins says, last night was fun as hell, and hoo boy, we have much more planned for the official takeover. Glad everyone liked the emergency broadcast. Well, nobody liked the emergency broadcast. Not even your fans liked it. Every single comment under the YouTube channel were like, wow, I bet this hurts your voice, Tim. And, you know, if you're going to make a biting political satire, what you don't want is people being distracted by the sort of overwhelming effort that you have to put into the impression. So, and again, I'm just, you know, I'm going to have to wait. Hopefully I won't have to wait long, but I'm going to wait until the Onion gives up and fails and admits defeat. And then, and only then, will I reveal here on air the secret to parodying Alex Jones, because I know it. I could do it if I wanted, and nobody else understands how to parody Alex Jones. I do, and I'm not going to tell them how, because they would steal it from me, and they would try to do it. But I'm going to let them suffer. I'm going to let them flail about, fail, and only then will I reveal the secret to parodying Alex Jones. It's very simple, but nobody else knows it. Again, it's funny. People are just like, I'm just glad at how mad Alex is at this. It's like, Alex is in the best mood I've ever seen him in. You think he cares about any of this? Again, better men than you have tried, Tim. I don't know if I have it here, but I tweeted it out. The trash pile ever grows. Because you've got, I mean, so many people have tried to do direct parodies of Alex Jones, and none of them have succeeded. And they've all been better than Tim's, okay? You know, Tuck Buckford at least, you know, had some energy behind it. Let's go back to Tim. He's about to offer me a job, hilariously enough. Let's watch.
Forgiveness, and I want to offer this to you as a personal message to you, Harrison Ford. You come to me. You sit at my feet. You kiss my feet, kiss my hands, and rub oil on my feet and beg for my forgiveness, and we'll find a home for you here. We want to work with you, kid.
I'm going to pause it, and we're going to wait. We got to back it up 5 seconds so I can hear him compliment me again. You cuck. We're just going to wait for a second. I'm going to pause here. We're going to have some dead air. I got to wait for everybody to stop laughing at that hilarious joke. It's a gut buster, isn't it? When he's talking about like, oh, you're going to have to like kiss my feet. It's like, whoa, I was not prepared for that one. Tough, big, big, tough guy stuff. Now, interestingly enough, I, in all sincerity, have invited Tim to come to InfoWars. I invited him to go to the studio. I invite him to come now. I mean, hell, we can go over there. You want to get a tour through the studio? You won't do that, though. Why won't he do that? I mean, again, like, genuinely, if he really believes what he says, if he really thinks that we're all like these crazy kook idiots, why would he not want to come? Why would he not want to reveal us, show us, get the behind-the-scenes footage? So it's this weird passive-aggressive, he's going to ignore my invite, then pretend that he's inviting me. It's very weird. All right. So here he is offering me a job. And then again, it's like, I'm not even upset. I'm insulted at the lack of comedy. I'm insulted at the lack of creativity. I'm insulted that there's not a single punchline in any of this. It's lazy. It's uncreative. It's pathetic. If you're going to make fun of us, you should at least be funny. You would think that would be a bare minimum requirement, but these people cannot seem to remember to make jokes. Let's go back to whatever his name is.
Oil on my feet and beg for my forgiveness, and we'll find a home for you here. We want to work with you, kid. You got talent. We got to get rid of those stupid glasses you're wearing. You look like a serial killer, I suppose. I don't know if that's what you're going for, but that's all right.
Oh, a serial killer.
We're going to get you a makeover.
First of all, Tim, I'm what you might call a trendsetter. You'll notice now all the cool kids are wearing these glasses. I just happen to be the first. You pay a price for being ahead of the curve. You pay the price for being a trendsetter and a trailblazer. Just ask Alex Jones. But again, I'm not even insulted at the insult. I'm insulted at the lack of creativity. Serial killer glasses, really? You made the only joke anybody's ever made about these glasses. That's not even a joke, because serial killers really did wear these glasses. That's actually, that's the style, basically. Yeah, I've come into it. They're actually more of the, heavily armed cult leader glasses. I prefer to think of them as that, or just straight up everybody's grandfather's glasses, since literally everybody in the 1980s wore these glasses. And some people just kept wearing them. Look at that. Look at that guy. That's what I'm going for. That's the style right there. You gotta love it. So I'm a fashion trailblazer, and Tim Heidecker, what is that, Polish? He can't handle it. He doesn't get it. And it's sad and it's pathetic. And I'm going to have to reject your offer. Thank you, but no thank you, Tim. You do not deserve to benefit from my extraordinary genius, and I will continue to inform and entertain people here on the Alex Jones Network to an audience many, 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 many times larger than yours. Okay, how about we do that? How about instead of going on your network and getting 2,000 views like your podcast does, how about I talk to a radio audience of millions?
That's right.
Every single day.
He has to piggyback on us and try to steal our skin to get the attention. But I want to say, I finally got to get glasses. I'm going to get American Psycho glasses with you. I'm going to get Ted Bundy glasses with you.
Cool, right? You made fun of them at first, but I think
they're
growing
on
you.
No, this is the new thing. My dad always wore those because they're actually good. They work well.
I know.
Wide field, bare field. You have American Psycho. You have David Koresh Plus. Yours are even worse.
That's right. I got the biggest ones I could find.
These are literal American serial killer, American Psycho Plus jumbos.
That's right. So I even have ones just like that that go dark in the sun. Well, I got transitions.
Those are more like Carrera glasses. I got some of those. You're not that fashionable. Watch out.
But how pathetic is
this Heidecker thing? Is even worth it. As soon as we stop talking about him, it's going to go away.
I know. Well, I thought I'd do one response.
No,
just let him know.
That's all right.
I just think it's like, can he not be more creative? Everybody calls these serial killer glasses. He's supposed to be this comedic genius. He can't even write a single joke.
Oh, it's so original. We're going to drink the blood of children here. Well, the point is, it's the, like, with all the Epstein background, all the Satanism background, everybody's aware of that.
Right.
He started doing that 10 years ago when all the stuff broke as part of the, the order. We know he's a hack. They're all, the MSNBC censor guy's the head guy. They get marching orders. Get Alex Jones. We all know that. So it's not like, oh, it's just comedy, pedophilia, Satanism, kidnap kids. No, they're there to make a joke out of it, to smokescreen it.
Yep.
I mean, come on, Heidecker, you're not that stupid. You know what you're doing, buddy. We're not dumb either. And by the way, America's not dumb.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. It's like with the Epstein files and all of the crap that's come out recently, it's like, how are you even going to make fun of this?
Everything they talk about in that show about international water and islands and poison to the kids.
It's absolutely true.
That's what they did. That's like, I barely knew that then and barely know it now. That's like showing great knowledge of this.
Well, they've been in some trouble with that, man. Maybe we won't get into it.
Oh, there's more, I don't know about it.
There's some bad, not with Tim, but with his partner, his comedy partner back in the day.
You got to brief me today.
A little bit. Maybe I'll give you the update to the rumors.
I don't want rumors.
Well, I think these are just, I don't want to say anything because I don't know. It's unconfirmed.
It's unconfirmed. 10 years ago, almost no one knew. I didn't study FBI files and other stuff.
Yeah.
Like the poison the kids, the sleep deprivation.
Yeah. I mean, their whole thing is just
degradation.
You
have too much poison, you got that clown, and that's no good.
Yeah, it's obnoxious. It's disgusting. It's just like lowering the resonance of everybody in America.
Well, it's not funny.
Well, right. And it's
like
also
having four kids poop on an adult, and they said the term. I know that was a whole fetish.
Yeah.
But they're teaching you this type of stuff.
Yeah.
My son's only at the sweetest meats, or sloppiest meats.
That's disgusting. Well, and I, you know, we were talking about David Cross the other day, because he was on with Bill Maher, and I was saying, look, David Cross is a political idiot, but he's funny. And like Arrested Development, he's the best character on there. I'm not saying Tim Heidecker's not funny because of his politics. He's genuinely never been funny. His show's never been funny. It's awful. And he's sort of the last vanguard of a time when they could just make people popular.
But here's the deal. Notice that Saturday Night Live hadn't been funny for like 8 years, so they made up something about Trump. Now that it's all real, it's funny as hell.
Right.
You got to have something real to do it, you know?
Yeah, and we'll actually enjoy it because we're not humorless, unlike these guys. But I thought, you know, this whole project of theirs is going to crash and burn in no time, so I'm taking advantage of the little bit that we have now.
It's not about them failing. It's about the DOJ funding this and their fake auctions and the fact that it's criminal.
True.
All right. Of course, absolutely. There's just mercenary, washed-up people they chose as their front. It's Bloomberg, it's the Democrats, it's the tax-free foundations that raise $300 million off our name. That's the it's Koskov and Koskov. It's Paul Weiss.
Yeah,
it's that system. They use these clowns as their front.
Yeah, and that's why they get to do whatever the hell they want. Oh, there you go.
Those are not psychopathic enough.
Those aren't psychopathic enough. He says they need to be crazier,
bigger,
bigger, more obnoxious. Here, put these on. We do a couple styles. I can't see anything now, Sue.
Damn, these are Coke bottle glasses, dude.
I know. I got bad eyesight. That's the only downside. They're too thick.
I kidnap kids now and put them on cruise ships. Me and my buddy Heidecker. Actually, we don't.
So there you go, folks. So, nope, I'm not joining you, Tim. I'm not joining The Onion. I'm sticking with the winners. I'm sticking with the sure thing, the sure bet, the Alex Jones Network. And I really do hope that you stick with us, too, because, look, whether it's a joke from these guys or really what they're doing, it's just there's just this sickness that pours out of them. There's just this degeneracy that they revel in. And it's a joke half the time, but it's not really a joke. And it just overall lowers the quality of, the media the world over. I think the Tim and Eric Awesome Show sort of ruined commercials for a little while. But again, these guys, you know, came up in a time and were sort of the last people that it's like they were plucked, you know, by the powers that be, and put in their positions and told that these people are famous and funny. Everybody think these people are famous and funny. And of course, it's almost symbolic that, you know, he ends up being possibly one of the, you know, crucial people kicking Sam Hyde off of Adult Swim because Tim and Eric Awesome Show was being crushed by Million Dollar Extreme World Peace. So, you know, he's not used to a universe in which competition actually decides the winner. He's used to being chosen, to being selected, to being, you know, forced down everybody's throat. You're in our world now, buddy. Nobody cares who the Hollywood producers tell you to like anymore. In fact, that makes us despise them more. We have to live and die on our own popularity, on our own audience. If they don't support us, we go down. We don't have sugar daddies. We don't have the billions of dollars. We don't have the institutional backing like you scumbags do. We have to actually be who we say we are. We have to actually do something people want to watch. We have to actually make money by selling good products. The good news is we do all of that and more and have become extremely well-versed and successful at it. So I hope you can support us as we go into the future. I hope that you can metaphorically and symbolically spit in the eye of our enemies by going to thealexjonesstore.com, making a purchase, buying a supplement, buying a t-shirt, buying a hat, buying anything really, knowing that every dollar you spend there is another metaphorical bullet in our chamber, another gallon of gas in our tank to go another mile or two down the road. Please support us. TheAlexJonesStore.com, TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. And my wife loves the glasses, so they're staying on.
I have been very blessed and honored in 32 years on air and 28 years of InfoWars. to have seen the whole world change. When I first got started, almost nobody knew about the globalists. People were literally in the dark. Look how far we've come. We are exposing him. Jeffrey Epstein, the pedophile rings, the poison COVID shots, the open borders, the global wars, the 5G, all of it is coming out. Humanity is rallying. This is the fourth turning. This is the great awakening. It is the answer to their great reset. I am so proud of humanity, and I'm so thankful to all the viewers and listeners who over the years have supported us by prayer, word of mouth, and financial support at thealexjonesnetwork.com. So InfoWars has been shut down, but we've launched the Alex Jones Network. We plan to crank this sucker up. We got new studios, they're even bigger, being built. And we want to go 19 hours a day live by the end of 2026 from 5 a.m. until midnight. So if I build it, will you come? Yes, I know you will. So now more than ever, go to thealexjonesstore.com and get incredible supplements. Our methylene blue is the best. Our methylene red is proprietary. Our bovine colostrum, the widest selection of Patriot Apparel, incredible collectible knives, and so much more. You are literally financing the tip of the spear and the resistance that the tyrants and the globalists hate above everything else. InfoWars is a proven winner. They have a URL. They have an old studio. That means nothing. You are the InfoWar. And if you accept this mission, if you take action, if you spread the word, if you share our links, alexjoneslive.com, the news site, the live feeds, the articles, the videos, it's incredible. If you share the feed with everybody you know at alexjonesapp.com, the free Droid or Apple download of the app, it is insane. All the power lies with you. That's why when callers call in and thank me, I say, thank me. I would fight this no matter what. I'd fight it in a ditch. I'd fight if I was homeless. We're all in this together. You have all the power, but you have to use the power now. Share the feeds to alexjoneslive.com. Share the URL, alexjonesapp.com. And go to thealexjonesstore.com with the widest selection of Patriot apparel to wear your uniform of liberty openly and proudly. It's such an adventure to wear this apparel and to get the incredible supplements that will empower your life so you'll know how real this is. I only sell stuff that really works, so I want you to get it and take it and love it and have a great response. We have a 90+% reorder rate. So many of you are on the fence. Take action now. Step into a wider world. Go to thealexjonesstore.com today and support this broadcast. But regardless, take the feed, take the live links at alexjoneslive.com/show and on Rumble and Alex Jones on X, the Alex Jones Show on Rumble, and share those links and it changes the world. You are unstoppable when you decide to get up at the plate and take action. This is real. This isn't hype. You've seen the results. Now the ball's in your court. AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. Take action. You are the reincarnation of Paul Revere. You are unstoppable. The globalists are in deep crap. Take action now at AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. And I want to be clear. I don't own the AlexJonesStore.com. Bigly, that owns the Alex Jones Network, does. We've got a major deal with Rumble to push our information. It's already top on Rumble, but to supercharge it. The most important coordinate in this fight is rumble.com/Alex Jones Live. Rumble.com/Alex Jones Live. We are already at the top of Rumble, but we're going to go even further partnering with them. This is the coordinates of liberty. Take action right now at rumble.com/Alex Jones Live, and we are unstoppable. The power of humanity is unstoppable if you simply unleash it now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. AlexJonesLive.com is the URL, AlexJonesLive.com. You know, I was gonna just move on from this, but Nick Fuentes had a really good take about what's happened in InfoWars, and I thought I'd play this. I played a clip from him yesterday. This is a different one. Clip number 10 here. This is Nick Fuentes again, sort of laying out in a way that is accurate and good, but I also want to correct him on something minor here. So I think, again, it's important to both highlight, like, yes, he's right about what he's saying, but it's worse than he even says. So let's go to clip 10 here. This is Nick Fuentes on the destruction of InfoWars. Let's watch.
Alex Jones has an unbelievably impressive operation. At one time, he was clearing, according to court documents, $50 million a year is what they say. He made $150 million in 3 years at the end of the 2010s. He was popular. People like the show. He is getting shut down. Why? Because an activist funded a lawsuit against him and the courts are rigged. The courts, which can be rigged through jury selection and because the judges might not like you, it's a rigged system. These activist groups with unlimited money found a plaintiff, filed a complaint. They rigged the court system every step of the way, and now Alex Jones has a $1 billion debt. He's popular, he's competitive, but because of this political attack, he's got a $1 billion debt, he's now insolvent. Is anybody gonna buy him out? Who was gonna buy him out? Who can buy him out? Who can swoop in like Larry Ellison did for Barry Weiss and give him his $100 million golden parachute? Who's gonna make him the chair of a legacy big three network? Nobody. Nobody. Wanna know why? Cause his last name is Jones. That's why. Cause his last name isn't Shapiro. His name isn't Weiss. That's why. Alex Jones is not going to get a golden parachute because the Texas oil money, the Gentiles, they don't work like this. They don't think like this. He's not going to get put in the game by a patriotic Gentile. And the same goes for Candace Owens. She is unbelievably popular, whatever you think about her. And I have my criticisms. I think some of the things she's put out is not true or reckless or whatever. But you cannot deny she is a phenomenon. She gets 3-4 million views an episode. Talk to any right-wing woman on earth. She's a Candace Owens fan. She's huge. And even people that aren't political like her, even people that are liberal like her. And you can say whatever you want about it, but it's just what it is. She's whatever you want to call that aptitude, she's got a talent for that. She's got the X factor. Huge success, hugely popular, raking in the dough. Same story. They're going to do the same thing to her that they did to Alex Jones.
Again, I think sort of that last line is the most troubling of all of it, because you know it's absolutely true. I mean, it is already true. The Macrons are already suing her, and, you know, she'll probably, you know, get some other, you know, big case against him. And oh, we might get hit with some other, you know, big fabricated thing. You know, if you start seeing headlines tying Alex Jones, something you talked about 10 years ago, just get ready. It's coming again. And it's just knowing that all of these pressures are brought to bear against anybody who's capable of showing the American people that you can succeed on your own. And I think that has a lot to do with it. And I was talking to Rex Jones about this the other day, about the fact that one of the primary reasons that Alex Jones has been a target for destruction is because they want to teach the American people, here's what happens if you try to do this. Here's what happens if you go up against us. And especially, here's what happens if you become our peer. If you, on your own and by your own volition, build your own independent network that can stand toe-to-toe with the big guys, that's the threat. That's the real threat. If Alex Jones was what they say he was, if he was profligate and, you know, deceptive and, you know, didn't care about, you know, burning his credibility, if he thought he could say something that was, you know, super, you know, attention grabbing, then we would never have built what we've built here. If he was spending money on fancy cars instead of building the studio, if, you know, we were just sort of whiling away and just hoping against hope that the American justice system would work out for us, then we would have been gone a long time ago. But Alex Jones set this up, knowing that these attacks were coming, and built systems to withstand the attacks. And at the end of the day, InfoWars isn't just competing with the big boys. We outcompete them on almost every front, probably every front except for, like, money from BlackRock, right? They outdo us on that front. But, I mean, Alex goes over the numbers all the time. And it's not just us. It's Joe Rogan. It's everybody. It's all these popular people. It's Tucker Carlson. I mean, we get many, many, many times more views than every CBS news show combined. But the two things I wanted to, well, the one thing I wanted to correct Fuentes on there, because I think he's exactly right again, but when I'm listening to it, and he's talking in almost vague ways about the way in which trials can be rigged. And it just came across me. I was like, I need to hit up Nick and be like, I need to explain to you just some of the details about how this was rigged. Because it wasn't a vague thing. It wasn't, well, you can find a good judge, you know, a judge that is on your side, or you can use jury selection to rig that. No, no, no. It was rigged. It was a show trial. So that's why, like, again, I just so appreciate Nick laying this out for people in a way that only he could. But it's worse than he even says. This wasn't just like a, well, you know, he lost the trial, but it was probably rigged, kind of like, eh, things can be rigged, and that's probably what happened here. No, no, no. The default judgment was totally fraudulent, in my opinion, my personal and unprofessional opinion. But it's absolutely true, and you can go look it up yourself. The default judgment was unprecedented, ridiculous, and completely, like, unqualified, like, unnecessary. Not the right thing to do at that moment, but they did it anyway. It was coordinated. I mean, there was a script from HBO. The jury that was there, it wasn't a matter of jury selection that rigged the trial. The jury was there simply to decide how guilty Jones was. They were never given an opportunity to even put forward a not guilty decision. The jury was literally a prop for the show trial. That's what, again, it's like, even people that are on our side and understand this, I don't think they still don't understand just how thoroughly corrupt this entire system was. Not in a vague and speculative way, but in a distinct and detailed way. I could go through. Every step was just a cacophony of corruption to really an unbelievable degree. So maybe that'd make a good show, you know, sitting down with Nick and just going over exactly what happened throughout the entire trial, because it was not a matter of jury selection or a friendly judge. It was a matter of full scale show trial. So, but I appreciate that. And then I also like that he says, because his last name is Jones, because I hadn't really thought about it, but the fact that the two hosts on Alex Jones Live are Jones and Smith, it's like you couldn't be more American. Literally the two most common last names in America, Jones and Smith. It's like pure Americana. You cannot get more American than us. Both Alex and I both have ancestors on the Mayflower. We both have ancestors that fought in the Texas Revolution, and we're part of Stephen F. Austin's Old 300, the first Anglos to settle in what was Tejas, Mexican Texas. We go way back, like our ancestors literally were already doing this 200 years ago, side by side, fighting the evil, fighting the tyrants. In that case, founding a country, and in this case, desperately trying to save one. It's also interesting that we both have Welsh and German ancestry. Again, I don't know what the special thing about that mix is, but I throw in a little bit of a Sicilian in my bloodline too. So I got that edge to me. I got that part of my brain that I wake up being compelled to go seek vengeance for something, go commit my life to some sort of vengeance, but hasn't happened yet. One day we can hope. Like, I don't know how much more to express that we are the absolute real deal in a world of endless fraudulence and deception and manipulation. InfoWars. Well, if you don't know that we're the real deal, I got to question your judgment, because it should be obvious to absolutely everybody with how right we've been for so long. But anyway, we'll move on. Sorry, not to brag as much, but you should support us at thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com is your one-stop shop for truth, justice, and the American way as we continue to champion classical Americana values that everybody in the world admits are the best values in the world, and basically only refuse to abide by those values if they think they can, you know, get something over on somebody. But at the end of the day, like I said, you see a lot of the people on the right wing that were really obsessed with race. They're coming around going, you know, what's actually important is like your values and whether you like truly support America. It's just like everybody on every side that always called us an extremist on the other side. They're all sort of coming in. They're all gathering towards us like a magnetic attraction, because the more you think about this and the more you study this, the more likely it is that you arrive at the point that Alex Jones arrived at 30 years ago, that it's pure Americana. It's the founding fathers. It's the founding documents. It's the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. That is our watchword. That is our North Star. That is what we pursue indefatigably. And all the other distractions are just that. And you can entertain them for a little while, but if you're a smart, intelligent, thoughtful, and forward-thinking person, you always come back to the understanding that we have the right system. It's just not being enforced. The only thing necessary to save this country are mass deportations and a resolute application of already existing laws. Anybody telling you otherwise is probably a communist. All right, I've been wanting to play this video for a little while. It's Tucker Carlson, an interview with the New York Times. And I thought this was one of the most shocking videos I've ever seen. I literally watched it like 10 times. I retweeted this saying I watched it 10 times because I just wanted to absorb it, just study it, and just really pick apart every single line in this. So Tucker Carlson is being interviewed by a lady from the New York Times, and they get into a sort of back and forth about who is more or less moral between Ted Cruz and Nick Fuentes. And while Tucker is making points and responding directly to the woman's claims or questions, notice how she, it doesn't even seem like she is aware that Tucker is saying anything. Okay, it's crazy. But like he says stuff, and you can actually see as her brain filters it into the junk drawer and just in one ear and out the other. It really is amazing, especially when we break down at the end, like what's actually going on here. I think you'll see what I mean. Let's go to clip 8 here. Tucker asks, is denying the Holocaust more important than killing kids? Let's watch.
Who do you think is more morally repulsive, Ted Cruz or
who do
Nick
you
Fuentes?
Think is more morally repulsive?
Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz is a sitting U.S. senator who has called for the killing of people who did nothing wrong, whole populations who advocated for this war. Nick Fuentes is like a kid. He's like 26 or 70. He has no power except his words. Here you have a public official who we pay, who has actual power, who's voting for things, who's making policy decisions, and those decisions would include, in fact, they are focused on the murder of people who did nothing wrong. And yet no one thinks it's a big deal. Well, this is totally fine. I mean, if there's tape of Nick Fuentes saying we should kill people because we hate their parents, or it's okay to kill children, I would love to see the tape, because that's disgusting. And that's basically what the entire U.S. Senate does every single day, and no one notices. Nick Fuentes said something naughty that I disagreed with. He made fun of things that I don't think I would ever make fun
He's
of them.
He's a white nationalist who has denied the Holocaust. And what I will say,
okay,
from
but
my
is that
own
worse
understand-
than killing kids?
From my understanding of my own, you know, I was just in Germany recently, and you know, it was such a good reminder that the Holocaust didn't start with the gassing of Jews. It started with the dehumanization of Jews. It was language that was used. And again,
right,
that is what it concerns people.
I couldn't agree more. And that's why when you have a U.S. senator, a member of Congress, a U.S. ambassador waving away civilian deaths as if they don't matter, that's the language of genocide, which results, and this is the lesson of the Holocaust, in genocide itself. And it has. So the lesson for me, really, watching all of this, is that this can happen in civilized countries. In all human beings, there is the capacity to ignore the evil right in front of you. And my point is, it's happening right now. And my job, to the extent I have one, I don't really have a job, but I just want to remind people that we're all capable of that, including me, and that we're watching it right now. And if you think that Nick Fuentes is a greater threat to other human beings than Ted Cruz, I would love to know how.
I can imagine people hearing this and thinking you are soft-pedaling Nick Fuentes. You are apologizing
for
Nick
Fuentes. I'm hardly soft-pedaling Nick Fuentes. I'm trying to awaken people to killing of innocents in our midst, which we are not only encouraged to ignore, but really told to ignore on pain of being denounced. And I'm just saying, no, I'm not doing that.
So, you know, I find that to be one of the most incredible pieces of conversation I've ever heard. I mean, where to even begin, right? He's making a very cogent and obvious point that Ted Cruz doesn't just say things, he has power. But the things that he says and the things that inform the power that he wields are literally genocidal and insane. Meanwhile, Nick Fuentes basically just doesn't adhere to the blasphemy laws that we're supposed to all absorb and enforce ourselves. And it really is just, I don't even know how to explain it when Tucker Carlson goes on like a 2-minute monologue just laying out the argument in perfect clarity as to why Nick Fuentes, being a popular young streamer and not adhering to the, you know, top-down orthodoxy of what we're supposed to believe about things, is nowhere near as big of a threat, even if your entire concern is predicated on the Holocaust, as an understanding that it's an emblematic, a symbol of, as Tucker Carlson related, the capacity of human beings, even intelligent, you know, informed and educated human beings, to fall into a trap of totalitarianism and senseless murder. If that's what you're hyper concerned about, then Tucker Carlson is the one laying out how this is happening right now. If that was your concern, just in a unbiased way, you wanted to stop that process no matter who it applied to or how it was taking place, then you would be on Tucker Carlson's side. And to hear him go off on this 2-minute monologue and her response just to be like, sounds like you're soft pedaling Nick Fuentes. It's like, is she a robot? Did she not understand anything he just said? He just made a very powerful, cogent, clear argument as to why Ted Cruz is more morally repulsive than Nick Fuentes is. And she like can't even comprehend it. She can't even figure out what it is that he's saying. She just like results back to like, but you didn't condemn Nick. I told you to condemn Nick and you didn't. And he's like, right, here's why. Ted Cruz said this. Nick Fuentes said this. I consider this far more morally repulsive than this. And she's like, condemn him now. It's like, what are we supposed to do with these people? What are we supposed to do? But the two things she said, so again, Tucker Carlson gives this very well-reasoned description of why he thinks Ted Cruz is morally repulsive and more so than Nick Fuentes. And she responds, but he's a white nationalist and a Holocaust denier. First of all, so what? Who cares? Second of all, I don't even think he is. In fact, I know that he's not. I know he's not a white nationalist because he just never has been. That's a particular political ideology and, you know, a political construct that I'm fairly certain Nick does not promote or support. I mean, you may characterize his beliefs as white nationalist, but I mean, what you think when people hear white nationalists is they think like a supremacy movement that wants to expel or kill all non-white people. That's ridiculous. First of all, his name is Fuentes. So it's like just totally absurd on the face of it. And I don't think he's ever denied the Holocaust either. I've never heard him deny the Holocaust. I've heard him make jokes about the question about the numbers, which again, okay. And I've heard him question like specific details, but I also heard him explain in his own words why he does that and how it is a deliberate blasphemy against this state religion we're all, you know, supposed to adhere to. It's like, no, I'm killing your sacred cows. I'm deliberately letting you know that I do not take your concern seriously. I do not think that the sacred figures in your religion are sacred figures in my religion. So I will mock them because I have a First Amendment right to do so. But when she says these two labels that I don't think apply to Nick, but, you know, are used to silence him, they're code words for other stuff. When she says white nationalism, what she means is white advocacy. What she means is white people wanting to prevent or fight back against their own total deconstruction, eradication, genocide. That's what they mean by white nationalist. White nationalist is any white person that hasn't absorbed the guilt and doesn't feel like they and their race need to, you know, die so justice can reign on the earth. But that's what she means when she says white nationalist. Just like when she says Holocaust denier, she's not talking about the details of the Holocaust. She's smearing him and labeling him as somebody that refuses to abide by all of the not insinuations, but everything that comes along with the story of the Holocaust. Because the story of the Holocaust, as it's told now to elementary school kids and, you know, people here in America, it's not Germany's bad and America are the heroes. It's white people are bad because they hurt the Jews. And it's not white people are bad because they hurt people. It's because they hurt the Jews. And if you, you know, have a memorial where you, you know, honor the Catholic victims of the Holocaust, they'll call you anti-Semitic and like protest and maybe shut down your event. It's happened fairly recently. So it's not about the historical event of the Holocaust, World War II, and the huge and horrifying number of innocent people murdered by regimes during World War II. It's about what that stuff is supposed to be like shorthand for. It's about the way that that concept and that propaganda episode is used to control and destroy people here in America today. She's mad that he's rejecting that. He's mad that she's mad that he's rejecting, Nick Fuentes is rejecting the guilt we're supposed to feel over the thing that our ancestors fought and died to stop. That we're supposed to be scared of authoritarianism because it can lead to the Holocaust. Scared of criticizing Jewish people because it can lead to the Holocaust. Scared of being a nationalist because, hey, the Nazis were nationalists and they did the Holocaust. It's that by associating all of these positive things with this negative thing, you can say if you don't, you know, get rid of these positive things, really, you must be a Holocaust denier. If you refuse to accept the guilt and therefore the, you know, policy measures on the basis of your guilt, your racial participation in the Holocaust, then you're a bad guy. And we should all be rejecting that outright. And we should all be rejecting anybody like this woman who has no interest in the truth, has absolutely no concern for people outside of her own. Tucker Carlson is sitting there describing the way in which Palestinians are brutally and viciously dehumanized in an effort to carry out an ongoing genocide, and she just doesn't even hear it. She does not care. She could not care less. And he asks her, which is worse, questioning the Holocaust or killing children? Now, she doesn't answer. But I think it's a real question. I think it's a serious question. It might seem ridiculous. It might seem crazy. But is it? Is it worse? I don't know. I mean, I've seen some glowing, you know, articles, you know, biographically profiling baby killers from Israel. Like talking about how hard it was and how sad it is for these IDF soldiers to have PTSD from all of the children that they've killed. They get rehabilitated. They get, you know, their sins washed away because what they were doing was honorable and in pursuit of a righteous goal. So I don't know if it is actually such a rhetorical or self-evident question. I think we do need an answer. Which is worse, killing children or questioning the Holocaust? Because if you kill children, you know, you can still participate in public life in America, but not if you question the Holocaust, because that's the only sin that really exists anymore.
Draft politicians for World War III, like Lindsey Graham and Ben Shapiro. Let's send them to the front lines. You can get this shirt and other incredible designs at thealexjonesstore.com, which also funds the new network, the Alex Jones Network, where you'll find my live feeds, the other great shows, special reports, investigative reports, and more at the new coordinates of liberty, alexjoneslive.com. And share that URL as well. You are the modern Paul Revere's. And then, of course, download on Android and Apple the free apps so you can watch the show and more and share it at alexjonesapp.com. Now, I'll see you on the front lines of the InfoWar.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're watching AlexJonesLive.com. It was declassified in 2025. the CIA and the FBI under Obama's command launched the attacks to shut down the original InfoWars. But InfoWars belongs to the people, and it's stronger than it's ever been. They can't take that away. You are the real power of this operation. So take the link, alexjoneslive.com, and the link, alexjonesapp.com, for the free Droid and Apple download, and share it on your email list, your text messages, with everybody you know and complete strangers. You have all the power. When you call and tell me how great I am, I say, stop. I'm just like you. I want freedom. I need you to get excited about the power you have. And that's what it's all about. They think you're about to shut us down. That is a total lie, ladies and gentlemen. Humanity is unstoppable when we take action. And the coordinates of liberty are alexjoneslive.com and alexjonesapp.com. Take action now. Share those URLs to everyone you know now and break the back of the globalists. You're unstoppable, Paul Revere. Take action now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.
You wanted everybody else to do it, but you didn't. Do you know who Franklin Jose Pena Ramos is?
Are you talking about the federal government's cost to the state of Illinois as a result of the failed immigration policy?
It's a yes or no question. I'll take that as a no. Do you know who Jose Martinez Rangel is?
No, sir, I do not.
You don't. You should. Those are two men who came into this country illegally. 12-year-old Jocelyn Nungery in my home state of Texas. Do you think that elected officials should have welcomed them into our communities?
Sir, before they committed a crime, I'm not sure what you're asking.
Do you think that they should have been welcomed into our communities? That's a very straightforward question.
Someone who commits murder, no. Someone who commits murder should be apprehended.
Why did you state during Biden's border crisis that illegal aliens, quote, should have been welcomed and helped by elected officials?
When you say illegal aliens,
I'm asking
these
you,
are people
these
who
people
are given
have been
welcomed asylum
and helped into our communities.
People who are
That's an
asylum
easy
seekers.
Yes or no question.
Well, you're mischaracterizing them.
It is your position that they should have been welcomed into our communities. Is that correct?
There were asylum
That's from
seekers
your
who
own
were here
statement.
Legally.
And there then they went on people. And 12-year-old Jocelyn.
Someone Nunger. Who commits murder should be held accountable. We do that in the state.
And you
of
think they should have been welcomed into our communities before they did?
I don't know how you can tell before somebody commits a crime that they are going to
secure the border and not let illegal aliens come into our communities. Do you support abolishing ICE?
Asylum seekers.
Do you support abolishing ICE?
No, I believe we need an immigration force in the United States.
You don't. You believe a budget is a moral document. Is that correct?
I do.
You do. You tweeted that. Your administration gave $12,000 to the Organized Communities Against Deportations, which just this past month was marching in the streets of Chicago with signs saying abolish ICE. Do you support this? Is this a reflection of your moral values?
Force.
Is this a reflection of your moral values?
I do not support abolishing an immigration force.
That's good to hear. Mr. Governor, do you think that biological men should be able to use women's restrooms?
I'm not sure how this has to do with immigration.
It's just a yes or no question.
Why are you?
It's very easy to answer.
This?
Do you think
we
men should be using
doing fact finding? I'm sorry.
Do you think men should be allowed in women's restrooms?
I'm not sure why this has come to
you,
this
you
issue.
You tweeted that as a protest
against
President Trump, everyone should use the other gender's bathroom today. Have you ever used the women's restroom?
Not that I can recall ever. Sir,
you just,
no.
You wanted everybody else to do it, but you didn't.
Sir, I'm not sure why we're on a topic that has nothing to do with
today's hearing. I'm asking you're advocating for men to use women's restrooms, but you didn't do it?
I do not advocate that, no.
Actually, you did. You said everyone should use the other gender's bathroom today.
I can tell you that
you
politicizing this in a way that what we ought to be focusing on is
the failure
encouraging of the federal
men to use women's restrooms
and the Congress to deal with immigration reform.
Do you regret encouraging men to use women's restrooms?
Again, you're taking us on topics that have.
Did you ever consider that women don't want you in their,
that you
in
invited
their bathrooms?
Us for? So you're admitting that this is just a political circus?
No, I'm asking you because you put this on
the internet
for everybody.
And really about you, Grant.
I'm asking you: have you ever considered that women don't want you in their bathrooms? That that's a private space that they don't want you or any other man in.
Congressman, let's talk about
your failure to vote for Medicaid. You want to take Medicaid away. Men should be in
and
women's restrooms.
And
that's a very
services.
Straightforward question.
You apparently want people
and you're
to
encouraging
die
men to
in
use
the United
women's
States
restrooms where there could be underage
away.
Girls. Do you think that's appropriate?
Sir, if we're going to politicize
think that's normal?
This, let's talk about what you're doing to people
do you
in
think
this
that
country
that's normal?
By virtue of your vote.
All right, let's move on.
With President
ask,
Trump.
Do you support Hamas's agenda?
Sir, I do not. They are a terrorist organization.
Gave a grant to the Muslim Civic Coalition, which just 2 weeks after October 7th was marching in the streets of Chicago to, quote, stop the U.S.-backed genocide against Gaza. Is that a reflection of your values?
I have spent my life fighting anti-Semitism.
No, I'm asking, is this a reflection of your
values? That's Representative Brandon Gill grilling Governor Pritzker. I just love it. It's yet another example of the left saying something like, hey, men should go in women's bathrooms to protest Trump. And you read it back to them, and they're just like, what? That's ridiculous. Why are you asking me about this? It's like, you're the one that said it, you freaking weirdos.
Draft politicians for World War III, like Lindsey Graham and Ben Shapiro. Let's send them to the front lines. You can get this shirt and other incredible designs at thealexjonesstore.com, which also funds the new network, the Alex Jones Network, where you'll find my live feeds, the other great shows, special reports, investigative reports, and more at the new coordinates of liberty, alexjoneslive.com. And share that URL as well. You are the modern Paul Revere's. And then, of course, download on Android and Apple the free apps so you can watch the show and more and share it at alexjonesapp.com. Now, I'll see you on the front lines of the InfoWar.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Gentlemen, this is The War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live from the Central Texas headquarters of the Alex Jones Network, alexjoneslive.com. That's alexjoneslive.com. I got so many crazy videos to show you. Let's just do this one real quick. I don't know. We might need to. I didn't listen to the audio of this, so we might have to have our hand on the dump button. But let's go to clip four here because this is a Tesla Cybertruck. I don't know why it's giving this warning, but with all of the talk about the fact that now every car in America is going to be required by law to have remote shutdown capabilities so that the government can deactivate your car or your car itself can refuse to drive if it thinks that you're impaired. And this is what it looks like when this type of thing is activated. Let's watch.
Traffic, bro. Would you look at this shit, bro? Look, I can't.
So he's in a Cybertruck. He's on the highway. He's in a lane, and the screen just says deactivated. It just says you're not going anywhere. The Cybertruck has been shut off. Again, I don't know why. Maybe there's a problem with it, and this is like a safety measure. But yeah, Tesla Cybertruck deactivated. It is a little concerning. So, I mean, yeah, update failed, return to dealer. Critical issue detected, contact customer service, comply with cease and desist to reactivate. So what is that about? I don't know. I mean, I guess it could be just a technical issue, but isn't that sort of bad enough? It's saying it's fake. The viral video of a deactivated Tesla Cybertruck is a fake. Interesting. I'll tell you, the reason I thought it was real is because the guy is actually stopped in a lane on the highway. Well, what does the article say? It looks awful real. Again, it could be a mistake. It could be, you know, like a software bug. Tesla responds to rapper's viral video claiming his Cybertruck was deactivated on the side of the road. It's from August 14th, 2025. Days later, the person shared a cease and desist letter. The company responded and said both things were fake, but people are pointing out something in the comments section. Tesla Cybertruck owner went viral with a video depicting his Cybertruck screen going crazy and showing a message. Days later, he shared a cease and desist letter, apparently from Tesla, because he made a song titled Cybertruck. Tesla said the video was fake, as was the cease and desist letter, and that the company does not deactivate cars remotely. Even though the video and the story was fake, some people in the comment section had a question to ask, can automakers really remotely kill your car? Well, they'll have to soon. 2027, by law, they'll have to have something like this. So, okay, if it was fake, then it was fake, but it certainly is going to be what it's going to look like in the future. So let's go to some other videos here. Again, I don't really have anything farther to say on that, except for, like, why would they want to be able to deactivate your cars? Is that really the thing that we should be doing? Just once again, how many problems do we have that could be solved by something easy or at least mitigated by common sense application of the law? Like, to me, the thing I'm scared of, like most scared of on the road, it ain't drunk drivers. It's illiterate truck drivers. It's foreign truck drivers who literally cannot read warning signs and are not qualified to pilot the multiple tons of metal that they're driving behind. That's what I'm scared of. That's what I want to stop before, you know, myself or my family is killed by one of these psycho idiots. Again, the idea that we're giving out licenses to people that can't read or speak English is genuinely insane. Are they going to be stopped? Are the cars going to refuse to drive because they're illegal aliens? Like, that's the thing. I don't even want to use these tyrannical measures to our own ends, but like, if we're going to have them, that's how they should be used, right? I don't want my car trying to determine whether or not I've had too much to drink or whatever. I'm an American and an adult. I can make my own choices. Thank you very much. But like, if we're going to have this, how about everybody who gets in a car outfitted with these scanners, you scan their identity, you check it against a list of U.S. citizens. If they're not a citizen and they don't have the right to be here, the car locks the doors and drives them to Mexico. What if that was a solution? What if every car you had to use your driver's license, and if you didn't have a driver's license or it was a fake driver's license, the car arrests you and takes you to the local ICE office where they can deal with you? But obviously, that's never going to happen. That's just, how could that ever happen? That would actually benefit the American people. That might actually lower, you know, crime and crashes. That'll never happen. See, we have all of these incredible capabilities with technology and surveillance. And if we decided to use even a little tiny proportion of them to actually address the really concerning problems that our country has, then all of those problems would be solved rapidly. But instead, we're getting all the surveillance and none of the crime fighting. Right? We're getting all of the control features in the car, only you'll be driving next to people that don't even belong in your country, can't speak your language, and are driving under a fraudulent CDL. Okay, so that's the world we're creating, where if you're a taxpayer, if you're an American citizen, if you have a perfect driving record, you will be subject to the restrictions, you will be subject to the surveillance, you will be spied on, your life will be controlled, and every single tiny mistake you ever make will be added to a permanent blockchain social credit score that you have to keep up or you won't be able to get a job or eat. Meanwhile, the people who crossed over the border illegally, raped a girl on the way, paid a coyote, is in a, you know, cartel, has a, you know, 50 convictions and stabs a person, they'll be let out the next day and, you know, if they're ever even arrested. So it's just all of this stuff is all universally and exclusively used to annoy the American people and interfere in the lives of the American people. And it's almost insulting that they don't even give us the fake excuse at this point. Just like Iran, you know, just like all this stuff. It's like at least when we went into Iraq, it was like there was 9/11. I mean, they slammed planes into towers. They blew up a third tower. They actually did something to convince Americans that this was necessary and a good decision. With Iran, it was just like, yeah, we're going to war with Iran. Deal with it or you're anti-Semitic. Shut up. Okay. Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, it's not ideal to have a false flag kill 3,000 of your people to force you into a series of endless wars in the Middle East for the sake of Israel. I'm not saying it's a good thing, but I'm saying there's a level of respect there that we don't even get anymore because they actually tried to trick us back then. Back when they did Real ID and implemented that or introduced that for the first time in the 1990s, they didn't just come out and say, yeah, we're doing Real ID. We're going to have a digital, you know, component to your identification card so we can, you know, track American people at, you know, all at once. Like, that was the real purpose of Real ID. But at least they said, hey, this will help fight illegal immigration. They said, we're going to do Real ID so that you have to have an actual ID and it will stop people from stealing Social Security numbers to work under the table as illegal immigrant, you know, migrant workers. That's what they premised Real ID on. Of course, it never happened, right? They go, this will solve illegal immigration. We just have to surveil you constantly. Then they surveil you constantly and immigration explodes through the roof because that was obviously never the intention. But at least, again, they tricked you. At least they presented you something for you to, like, hang your hat on and go, well, I don't like that they're spying on me, but illegal immigration is a problem, so if this helps deal with it, I'll accept it. They don't even do that. Again, it would be one thing if they're like, hey, we're going to have an auto shutdown, constant surveillance in every car because it'll be the easiest way to round up and arrest pedophiles, human traffickers, illegal aliens. Like, we're going to use this incredible surveillance technology to make the American people safer by expelling the foreign criminals in your midst. They don't even make that argument. They're not even pretending that's what they're going to do. They are literally just doing it to oppress you, and they're just letting you know. There's no other reason. There's no other excuse. And again, you just have to ask, like, what is the trade-off here? Is it really worth it? Do you really trust the United States government to use this in a way that's beneficial to a single American person, let alone all of us? It's all completely absurd. It really, really is. But actually, I want to follow up with the video that we just did of Tucker Carlson. Again, sort of crossing a line, touching a third rail of Holocaust denial and asking the very simple and what should be easily answered question of what is worse, killing children or the Holocaust, or rather Holocaust denial. You might actually have an argument if you said the Holocaust versus killing children, and it's sort of tomato, tomato. But these people think that denying the Holocaust is worse than actively carrying out another Holocaust. Okay? It's crazy. It is crazy, but that is the mindset. And whether they'll say it or not, look at the evidence of what gets you, you know, kicked out of polite society. And if the Epstein files are any clue to how things work, killing children might be a way to get into the highest levels of power, actually. It's not something that kicks you out. It's something that greases the ride. But, you know, Tucker Carlson is obviously not the only one who has been awakened, who has opened his eyes to the reality about our relationship with our greatest ally and why we've been in the Middle East for the last several decades. And they've got to be panicking now because it's not the left-wing radicals. It's not even the right-wing neo-Nazi people. It's the normies. And it's pretty much all the normies. And that's got to be troubling. I mean, I really don't know how they deal with this. If they even want to deal with it at all, it could very well be that all of this is very much on purpose and the anti-Semitism is a desired outcome of the attacks by Israel. I think it is. I think it's a very convenient feedback loop they have going where the worse Israel acts, the more anti-Semitism there is, the more anti-Semitism there is, the more funding you get to Jewish groups and Israeli groups. So it's the worse they act, the better things go for them. They are incentivized entirely to be as brutal and despicable and inhuman as they possibly can. So let's go to Theo Vaughn, clip 13 here. This is Theo Vaughn talking about America's relationship with Israel. Theo Vaughn is not, I don't even think he's a right winger. I definitely don't think he's a conservative. He's a comedian. He is a very normie friendly comedian that's probably the most popular, one of, if not the most popular comedian working right now. I mean, you've got like Shane Gillis and Theo Vaughn, and there are other comedians that maybe make more money and headline bigger shows, but it's like half the people or more online despise him. Really, nobody hates Theo Vaughn. Just like you have a hard time hating Shane Gillis. These guys are sort of universally popular, and even though they bend to the right, neither one of them is a traditional conservative. And before the Trump era, they probably would have been diehard Democrats. They're creatives. They're Hollywood types. I mean, they like, you know, drugs and degeneracy as much as any of them do. So, you know, they're not really conservatives. But in this landscape, they've been adopted by the right because they refuse to adhere entirely to the orthodoxy of the left. And here's Theo Vaughn talking about the discomfort he feels with America's relationship with Israel.
But I do have a lot of uncomfort about America's relationship with Israel, the Israeli political leaders. That's what I mean. I believe that that group is, it just feels like a satanic regime. It doesn't seem, it feels like they just want to cause pain. They just, I mean, the, you know, these, they don't even know where all the bodies from Gaza are, and they're already moved on to other places that they are attacking, and that America's associated now with their attacks. And I don't, I believe that that will come here one day. I don't believe that that the Israeli leaders, that they have any intention to stop that. I don't see that they have any care for the American people. It doesn't seem like that. I've never heard that spoken. And I believe that if we don't speak up now, that our children won't have the chance to speak up, either by law or by worse. And that may sound crazy to some people, and that's fine if it does. If it does sound crazy to you and you think I'm crazy on that point of view, that's okay. I don't, you know, I may disagree with you, but that's okay. You know, I do want to, you know, I worked hard to be able to have a voice for myself. And so I hope at least you just respect that. Or I hope at least you just see that. Like, at least I'm trying to say what I want to say. And I don't understand our government's relationship with Israel's leaders and with Israel's government. I don't understand it. You know, I just, it feels like there's this war machine, and then our soldiers and are put into these spaces, and they're just there to serve an America that they believe in. And it's no knock against them or anything like that. It's just, it just feels like it's causing a lot of pain and fear. And yeah, I don't understand I don't understand Trump's relationship. I don't understand our political, like, why we are so beholden to this government, this Israeli government that just seems to be obsessed with, control. And it feels like bloodlust, like they just, like, it's not enough. Like, after what happened in Gaza, I don't see how there could be any other view.
Of course, he's exactly right. And now they're turning Lebanon into Gaza, doing exactly the same thing there, because nobody's stopping them, because it's what they want to do. In fact, I didn't even grab it, but Smotrick, or was it Ben-Gavir today, was giving an interview where he's like, my son told me Dad, don't kill all the Lebanese. Leave some for me to kill. And I said, son, there will always be people to kill. And it's like, yeah, no, these people are sick, man. These people are, bloodlust is the way to put it. It is the way to put it because there are other ways to do what's being done. There is a gratification. There's a satisfaction. There is a perverse enjoyment of the pain and suffering that they cause. Smotrick says, my son wants me to leave some Lebanon for him to destroy later. I told him, don't worry, there will be enough for everyone. And this guy was literally an actual terrorist who was like plotting to kill a bunch of people, got caught. Then they couldn't prove. Israel law is this weird thing where if like you just don't admit what you were doing, they can't punish you. I don't understand how that is the case. He was, I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was like he was found with like a basement full of like gasoline and a plan to, you know, kill a bunch of people with homemade bombs. And he was just let out. Now he's like the head of the government and he's, you know, high up in the government. And he's like, yeah, you know, it's fun to kill Lebanese people. I want my son to enjoy the fun that we get to have. And of course, what he's really saying when he says, don't worry, there's plenty to go around, is even if we take all of Lebanon, there will be more to take because they're not stopping. They're absolutely continuing this operation, absolutely across the entire world. Why wouldn't they? What would stop them? What's going to prevent them from doing that? I mean, the bloodlust is very much apparent in the Israeli psyche and not just the leadership. The leadership is a distillation of the common, you know, Israeli attitude. And really it's a sort of, you know, glitzed up, glamorous, public facing attitude. If you translate from Hebrew on X, you see way worse stuff than anybody in the leadership says. And you do. You have people saying like, you know, I'm glad I'm safe, but it, you know, my happiness really comes from knowing that the Gazans aren't safe. There's a woman in Israel saying, you know, as the rain comes down and pours and I'm cozied up in my nice warm room, I feel a wave of satisfaction and joy knowing about all of the Gazans in tents right now getting flooded out and they have to be out in the rain and miserable, unlike me. There's something deeply and sincerely wrong with that mindset, and it's deliberately manufactured by the propaganda outlets. It is hateful and extremist, and it can be and should be recognized as that, and the justification for it being that, you know, the Holocaust happened 80 years ago is completely ridiculous and absurd, obviously. Smotrick speaks about Israel's intention to expand in Syria, Lebanon, and Gaza. Yeah, and then all of Syria, and then Turkey, and then all of Europe. I mean, it'll be convenient. By the time they're done killing all of their enemies in the Middle East and Judaizing all of the formerly, you know, Arab countries in the Middle East, they'll have done that with American power. America will be on the verge of collapse. Europe, of course, is already sort of over the edge of collapse. All of the people from all of the wars we continue to fight will go into Europe. So just around the time they're finishing up with their genocide in the Middle East, oh, look, Europe is a Muslim place now. Now they're the enemy that we need to go after. It is a global domination plot. Theo Von is like nervous about recognizing that and noticing that. And that is a good instinct from Theo Von because he's a decent person and he literally has trouble putting his mindset, like making his mindset somebody so thoroughly evil and distasteful and despicable as somebody like a Smotrick or a Netanyahu or a, you know, an average Israeli on X. But like, you got to get over that, man. You got to get over that. Yeah, no, these people are evil. They really are just that evil. And he's like, I don't get it. He says, I don't get it like 10 times there. What's not to get? What's not to get? It's on purpose. It's by design. There's nothing wrong with this. What is this? Oh, this is Smotrick saying the German chancellor should bow his head and apologize 1,000 times on behalf of Germany, rather than daring to preach morality on us, to conduct ourselves against the Nazis of our generation, who murdered, raped, slaughtered, burned women, the elderly. You don't care. You're just mad it wasn't you doing it. So look, if they wanted just to quietly starve all the Gazans, they could have. The bloodshed, the dismembered children, it's part of it for them. It's a sign to the rest of us, look what we can get away with. Look what we'll do to you, and nobody will even stand up to you. That's why we need to stand up for them.
I have been very blessed and honored in 32 years on air and 28 years of InfoWars to have seen the whole world change. When I first got started, almost nobody knew about the globalists. People were literally in the dark. Look how far we've come. We are exposing them. Jeffrey Epstein, the pedophile rings, the poison COVID shots, the open borders, the global wars, the 5G, all of it is coming out. Humanity is rallying. This is the fourth turning. This is the great awakening. It is the answer to their great reset. I am so proud of humanity, and I'm so thankful to all the viewers and listeners who over the years have supported us by prayer, word of mouth, and financial support at thealexjonesshow.com. So InfoWars has been shut down, but we've launched the Alex Jones Network. We plan to crank this sucker up. We got new studios, they're even bigger, being built. And we want to go 19 hours a day live by the end of 2026 from 5 a.m. until midnight. So if I build it, will you come? Yes, I know you will. So now more than ever, go to thealexjonesshow.com and get incredible supplements. Our methylene blue is the best. Our methylene red is proprietary. Our bovine colostrum, the widest selection of Patriot Apparel, incredible collectible knives, and so much more. You are literally financing the tip of the spear and the resistance that the tyrants and the globalists hate above everything else. InfoWars is a proven winner. They have a URL. They have an old studio. That means nothing. You are the InfoWar. And if you accept this mission, if you take action, if you spread the word, if you share our links, alexjoneslive.com, the news site, the live feeds, the articles, the videos, it's incredible. If you share the feed with everybody you know at alexjonesapp.com, get the free Droid or Apple download of the app, it is insane. All the power lies with you. That's why when callers call in and thank me, I say, thank me. I would fight this no matter what. I'd fight it in a ditch. I'd fight if I was homeless. We're all in this together. You have all the power, but you have to use the power now. Share the feeds to alexjoneslive.com. Share the URL, alexjonesapp.com. And go to thealexjonesshow.com with the widest selection of Patriot apparel to wear your uniform of liberty openly and proudly. It's such an adventure to wear this apparel and to get the incredible supplements that will empower your life so you'll know how real this is. I only sell stuff that really works, so I want you to get it and take it and love it and have a great response. We have a 90+% reorder rate. So many of you are on the fence. Take action now. Step into a wider world. Go to thealexjonesshow.com today and support this broadcast. But regardless, take the feed, take the live links at alexjoneslive.com/show and on Rumble and Relox Shows on X, the Alex Jones Show on Rumble, and share those links and it changes the world. You are unstoppable when you decide to get up at the plate and take action. This is real. This isn't hype. You've seen the results. Now the ball's in your court. AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. Take action. You are the reincarnation of Paul Revere. You are unstoppable. The globalists are in deep crap. Take action now at AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. And I want to be clear. I don't own the AlexJonesStore.com. Bigly, that owns the Alex Jones Network, does. We've got a major deal with Rumble to push our information. It's already top on Rumble, but to supercharge it. The most important coordinate in this fight is rumble.com/Alex Jones Live. Rumble.com/Alex Jones Live. We are already at the top of Rumble, but we're going to go even further partnering with them. This is the coordinates of liberty. Take action right now at rumble.com/Alex Jones Live, and we are unstoppable. The power of humanity is unstoppable if you simply unleash it now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We've got a lot of videos to show you here in the final segment of today's broadcast. I do want to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com is your one and only place you need to go to support us, thealexjonesstore.com. Get a fantastic product. It'll change your life. Get a t-shirt, a hat, something to support us. And shop easy knowing that your purchase goes directly into this mission, this fight, moving forward and continuing to blaze the trail and lead the way on all of this. TheAlexJonesStore.com, TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. Let's talk about what's happened in Iran here. Missile alert, emergency alert in Dubai as Iran fires four missiles at UAE for the first time since U.S. and Iran agreed to a ceasefire. Now, they say that Iran fired four missiles at the UAE and that three missiles were intercepted and a fourth fell into the sea, with reports of a blazing in the engine room of a cargo ship north of Dubai. But then you also have clips like this, clip 16, showing a massive explosion reported in Dubai, hinting that perhaps missiles got through. Let's go to clip number 16 now. So that doesn't look like an interception to me. That looks like a direct hit. And we also know that an important oil pipeline was struck by Iran today as well. Trump is responding to this with bravado and chest pounding once again. Trump threatens to blow Iran off the face of the earth if it attacks U.S. vessels. Now, apparently it did attack a U.S. vessel. Iran said they hit a U.S. vessel. The U.S. said, like, denied it at first. Trump threatened that Iran would be blown off the face of the earth if it attacks U.S. vessels trying to reopen a route through the Strait of Hormuz. The U.S. launched an operation on Monday to help hundreds of ships trapped with their crews in the Gulf, dragging the region back to the brink of full-scale war. Tehran sought to reassert its blockade on the strait, which is a vital waterway in global trade, while the U.S. military claimed to have destroyed six Iranian small boats and intercepted both Iranian cruise missiles and drones. This was denied by Iran. Over 800 ships and roughly 20,000 crew members remain stranded in the region. In an interview on Fox News on Monday, Trump described the ongoing U.S. naval effort as one of the greatest military maneuvers ever done and claimed that Iranian officials had been far more malleable in recent talks than ever before. Addressing concerns about American weapons stockpiles, he told Fox News, "We have more weapons and ammunition at a much higher grade than we had before." And one of the things that may be hinting at is that apparently the American military has requested permission to use some hypersonic missiles that have never been deployed in combat before, and essentially the Iranian missile launchers may have moved out of range of our, you know, more traditional stockpiles, and so now we're trying to bring out some of the big guns and some of the more experimental missiles that we have. From New York Magazine today, Trump wants action, may restart Iran war. President Donald Trump continues to insist the Iran war is essentially over after an April ceasefire agreement, but his order for the United States to help guide ships through the currently blocked Strait of Hormuz, the integral waterway that carries one-fifth of the world's oil supply, is escalating tensions as Iran reiterates its threat to attack any vessel seeking to traverse the channel. On a Sunday Truth Social post, Trump wrote that the countries throughout the world have asked for the U.S. to intervene and help their ships pass through the Strait of Hormuz, calling them merely neutral and innocent bystanders. The president said that beginning Monday morning, the U.S. will start to guide their ships safely out of these restricted waterways so they can freely and ably get on with their business. Shipping traffic through the strait has largely been halted by Iran since the U.S. and Israel launched their first strikes on the nation in late February. In April, the U.S. responded with a military blockade of ships entering or exiting Iran ports. On Monday, U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Mike Waltz, said that the United States intends to introduce a resolution condemning Iran's takeover of the Strait of Hormuz. Again, it's like, what a ridiculous mess to have completely started on our own volition and for no apparent reason. Like, what an outrageous and stupid move all of this was. How embarrassing. And even, you know, Trump is like, you know, these people are begging us to reopen the strait. Are they begging you to keep the war going and offer this half-assed solution that won't even work in the first place? Or do they want you to just admit that you lost and let the world get back to business again? I mean, do we really think it's just his ego? Is it just his ego that's like he doesn't want to admit that he lost, so we're just going to like force the whole world to starve so that Trump doesn't have to admit that he's wrong? Is that really what's happening here? Legally, it should be over. Legally, the 60 days that Trump is permitted to carry out a military operation that's not technically a war without having Congress declare war, that expired. And Trump said, well, we're in a ceasefire now, so that war is over. So I guess whatever we do now is going to reset the clock. He's going to get another 60 days. And as long as he does a fake ceasefire in the next 60 days, this can just go on forever. Where is the Congress stepping in and saying, actually, it's up to us whether this continues, and we would rather the world get back to business? We would rather not sacrifice our entire country and the world order as it exists so that Israel can become a superpower in the Middle East and Europe can be weakened even farther, because that's all that's happening here as a result of the Iran blockade. You know, China has 120 days at least of oil saved up. They can basically persist for half a year and not diminish any of their production whatsoever. They already have, like, they call them teapot refineries in China. And there's like 100 Iranian ships full of oil going to these teapot refineries. Like, they're still getting through and they're still delivering their oil. And China makes its own urea, nitrogen fertilizer, out of the coal that it produces. They have plenty of coal. They have plenty of stockpiles. This is not hurting China. It's just not. It's hurting everybody else. And in fact, China is benefiting from this because they're releasing some of their reserves to their neighbors and building rapport with them and getting them more on their side and showing that they're the good guys in all of this. And not even hurting themselves because they've got plenty and can spare it. What's the 5D chess going on here? What is it exactly? Because every day for the last 4 or 5 days, I've seen more and more announcements about, like, Air India just canceled all of their flights. Spirit Airlines, of course, shut down. Delta is asking for a multi-billion dollar bailout so they can handle the jet fuel prices going through the roof. I mean, how long is this going to persist? How long is this going to go on? And what is even the purpose at this point? What is the purpose? Trump's like, well, Iran hasn't paid enough of a price. No, they've benefited. I mean, you killed a bunch of their people, but they're in a better position than they were when the war started. And that discrepancy is only increasing. Like, they're only getting in a stronger and better position. So this is all counter. This is all counterproductive. Every single bit of it is utterly and ridiculously counterproductive. Trump faces the complicated reality of a costly, unpopular war in Iran. 2 months into the war in Iran, President Trump is confronting the complicated reality of a conflict that has proved costly and deeply unpopular and lacks a clear endgame. Could it get worse? Could it possibly ever be worse? I mean, what are we talking about? A war has to be like one of these things. It either has to be cheap and easy, or it has to be popular, or it has to have a clear endgame. If you don't have any of these, what the hell are we doing? Right? You can have a war that's not very popular, like Venezuela. It wasn't super popular, but it wasn't expensive either, right? Nobody died on our side. Didn't cost us a ton of money. And just sort of the American people just didn't really mind. We don't really care, but we're not really angry. Okay, so that would be if it wasn't costly as it is. But this is extremely costly, as in billions and billions of dollars. Donald Trump today put out a Truth Social post celebrating the economy raising by $45 billion, which is, if I can do the math, $155 billion less than the Iran war is costing us. At least the request for the Iran war costing $200 billion and losing at least $100 billion worth of radar and equipment in the Middle East so far. So this is what I don't get. It's like you're celebrating $45 billion. Like, okay, that's already been spent on Iran. And you need to do that about five times over for it to actually make a profit. Worst decision of all time, folks. Cannot reiterate that enough. Okay, so if it's cheap but unpopular, that's fine. Lacks a clear end game. Hey, as long as it's not costing us anything. Something can be costly as long as it's popular. Americans will put up with a lot if they believe in the mission that has launched the thing. Even Vietnam, as unpopular as it was with half the country, was very popular with the other half, and that allowed it to persist for so long because at least half the country understood the threat of communism and wanted America to be a bulwark against it and to stop its spread throughout East Asia, knowing that the more land and people that communists got, the stronger they got and the more they're able to project power into the West. Like, that makes sense. And it was expensive and it was painful and there wasn't really a clear end game, but for the people, you know, for half the American people, it was popular because fighting communism was popular. And the last one would be a clear end game. So, like, you could have a war. Venezuela might be another example for this, where it's like, wasn't really popular. It could have been more costly, but the fact that it was like, we're going to do this, we're going to get this guy, and then it's over, it's like, fine, just do it, just get it done. So, like, you got to have it, you know, like, just one of these is enough to perpetuate a war. You don't have any of these. You don't have a single one of these. You don't even hint at a single one of these. The end game has changed over and over. The end game now is just to try to temporarily mitigate the consequences of the takeover of the Strait of Hormuz in total. It is the most unpopular war in American history. It is cratering support for not just Trump, but the entire Republican Party, and is setting up America to be taken over by a far left radical. And they'll just finish the job once and for all. And it really will only take one presidential term to open up the borders and give citizenship to everybody who's already here. And suddenly the demographic tidal wave has been codified, solidified, made permanent. And that's the end of America as we know it, since people who vote for less government and who actually believe in our foundational principles will be thoroughly, permanently outnumbered by the foreigners who just want free handouts from what they perceive as an economic zone of America. Is it clear to you why people are turning against Trump over this? Like, my God, it is so utterly ridiculous. All of this is so utterly ridiculous. Energy markets are in turmoil. The Pentagon has given its first public estimate of the war, $25 billion so far. Key Republicans in Congress, so it's cost $25 billion so far, and they've requested another $200 billion to continue it. Mr. Trump is lashing out at foreign allies like Germany, who have shown no interest in joining the fight. Speaking to a crowd of supporters on Friday, Mr. Trump insisted he had no regrets. So, and that's the problem, okay? I did something that was, I don't know, foolish, brave, but it was smart. Yeah, it was one of those foolish, smart things, you know? It was one of those things that a fool would do, but it's also somehow smart. Okay, sure. Again, just, you know, what is there even to say? When addressing people like Theo Vaughn that are just like, I don't get it. What even is this? It's like, well, let's look at it this way. If you're on the Houston Astros and there's a guy with a New York Yankees uniform in your locker room, like putting lead in everyone's shoes, would you be confused? Would you be shocked and baffled at what they were doing? Or would you go, oh, right, he's on the other team. He's trying to make us lose. It's not that complicated. They're on the other team. Okay. What's happening here? And the reason it's confusing is because in this metaphor, if you were then to go to the general manager and go, hey, there's a New York Yankee cheating and sabotaging our equipment, then the general manager goes, how dare you? How dare you besmirch the fine name of the New York Yankees? This is that classic anti-Yankeeism that I've heard so much about. You believe in that the Yankees poisoned the wells in the Middle Ages, don't you? And you're just like, what the hell are you talking about? They're cheating right now. They're trying to make us lose right now. And it's like, how dare you? And then it's like, you know, you're confused and you're like, what the hell's going on? And you leave the office. Then you turn around and you crack the door secretly, quietly. And you see that the general manager, who was minutes before wearing Houston Astros paraphernalia is decked head to toe in the pinstripes of the New York Yankees, laughing maniacally in a mirror as he, you know, mocks your stupidity that he's actually working for the Yankees. It's like, okay, it's all right. Now I get it now. I think I get it, actually. I think I understand. Okay, the people on our team aren't actually on our team. They're actually on the other team. And the other team is hurting us because they're not on our team. That's why. That's why it's confusing, because you expect the manager of the Astros to not be on the Yankees. But here we are. Iran fires on U.S. ships in Strait of Hormuz in threat to ceasefire. Yeah, you'd think. Iran launched missiles and drone attacks at U.S. forces and merchant vessels in the Strait of Hormuz on Monday, but did not land any hits, according to U.S. Central Command. So I don't know what those videos of the hits were. That's confusing. Over the weekend, Iranian officials said U.S. attempts to interfere with Tehran's management of the strait would qualify as a ceasefire violation, reopening the strait, a vital choke point for oil and gas shipments through which Iran has slowed traffic to a trickle, is causing severe disruptions to the global economy and has been a central issue in the weeks of negotiations between Iran and the U.S. since they agreed to a ceasefire on April 7th, which largely halted fighting. The two sides have exchanged a number of proposals and held face-to-face talks with in Pakistan, but they failed to bridge the considerable differences. And we can go to clip number 9 here, where we can see just yet another warning signal. We're just like in the run-up to COVID. Seems like the media's fulfilling its role of telling you what's happening, but not letting you understand the real import and impact of it. Like, yeah, they'll report on it happening, but in a way that is makes you think that everything's calm and, you know, the people in charge know what they're doing. You would think that facing global starvation under governments who clearly have a genocidal hatred for their own people, this is a troubling development, knowing that you're about to hand over the power of life and death, power to decide who gets food and who doesn't, to a bunch of people who will throw you in jail for insulting your rapist. Okay? This is a very disturbing set of circumstances that we find ourselves in. Let's watch.
UK food prices are on track to be 50% higher by November than they were at the start of the cost of living crisis 5 years ago. That's according to some new research by the Energy and Climate Intelligence Unit. Half of UK households are already struggling to pay for everyday essentials, and lots of people are being forced to choose between things like food and keeping a roof over their head.
Not if you're a migrant, obviously. Obviously, if you're a migrant, the food is paid for, the roof over your head is paid for, and the little girls are provided by the orphanage that acts like a brothel for you. So, you know, things are fine for them. They'll do all right. It's just the, you know, English people that will have to suffer and die as a consequence of this. Again, this sort of just odd headline from AlexJonesLive.com. Iran claims strike on U.S. warship, U.S. denies. It's just kind of weird. Iran says it stopped U.S. destroyer from entering the Strait of Hormuz with a missile attack, a claim the U.S. has denied. It's like you'd think we'd have some clarity on this. Seems like taking out a destroyer would be either something you could confirm or deny with certainty, but I guess it's a he said sort of situation. A senior U.S. official has already denied the attack when questioned by reporters from Axios. In a post on X, U.S. Central Command also denied the attack, writing no U.S. Navy ships have been struck. It adds U.S. forces are supporting Project Freedom and enforcing the naval blockade on Iranian ports. Oil prices spiked sharply after Iran's claim, then fell with the U.S. denial. So maybe that's what it's all about. You know, you just got to lie to make money, so it's understandable. Iran sinks six small Iranian boats as Trump warns the regime could be blown off the face of the earth. Which is like, okay, don't you keep making that threat? Like, what are you talking about? Iran is clearly the one holding all the cards. Iran is clearly the one dictating whether or not discussions are even happening. So, like, at a certain point, you got to stop making threats that, A, we don't want you to do, and B, you don't follow through with. It's very embarrassing, personally, to me and all of us. U.S. intelligence indicates limited new damage to Iran's nuclear program. U.S. intel assessments of Iran's nuclear capability broadly unchanged despite ongoing war, sources say. And if you remember, you may have forgotten this, but if you cast your mind back to the beginning of this war about 3 months ago, that was the entire purpose, as stated originally. It was all about the nuclear weapons, and we had to do this to stop the nuclear weapons. And as long as we get those nuclear weapons, hey, it'll all be worth it in the end. Well, we haven't even damaged their ability to do anything with nuclear weapons whatsoever. So I think that's why we have all of these other goals that apparently we're trying to achieve with the war on Iran. Iran would need around a year to build a weapon if leaders decided to pursue that path. Sources say the U.S. has largely steered clear of nuclear targets during the current war. U.S. officials argue that by destroying conventional military targets, U.S. has muddied Tehran's path to a nuclear weapon. No, but they probably lit the fire to drive them there in the first place. I mean, if they didn't want a nuclear weapon before, I bet they want one now. I bet things would look a little bit different if they had actually pursued nuclear weapons over the last couple decades. And I bet they will into the future. Why wouldn't they? So again, we're getting conflicting, you know, answers here, but it appears as though the ceasefire, if it did even exist, is thoroughly over at this point. And we continue to see the restrictions of fertilizer for up to 70% of American growers, meaning that it might not be this year, but certainly next year, it's locked in. The collapse is absolutely locked in. As we've pointed out many times before, fertilizer exports through Hormuz slow to a trickle. 20 urea-laden ships remain in the Gulf, and you see the complete collapse of the fertilizer, which used to leave at, you know, several tons a month. 70% of U.S. farmers cannot afford to grow all their crops is the downplaying way in which the Forbes magazine lays it out. Again, yesterday I was covering this, and, you know, what this should probably say is red alert, panic in food supply chains as 70% of farmers can't afford to grow their own crops. But see, this is the mainstream media's style. It's just like, well, look, a majority of farmers can't afford to grow all their crops. All right, they'll have to, you know, take a little off the top. Might not be their most profitable year. No, no, no. They won't be able to have anything to harvest by this time next year. This is really bad. And they're downplaying it because they want it to happen. Again, it's just really all not that complicated at all. And it's a little bit odd if you're taking people at their word and you don't know the, you know, secrets behind all of this. The fact that we are building thousands and thousands of data centers that require enormous, unimaginable amounts of energy and unimaginable amounts of water at a time when we are facing an energy and water crisis. But again, you shouldn't be that confused because it's all in it together. It's all tied together and it's all part of the exact same operation. And again, I'm seeing more people ask it now. Why do we have data? Why do we need data centers? What service do they provide? What are they going to do for us? Nobody's even made the argument. Nobody is able to articulate exactly how 3,000 new data centers are necessary for us to, you know, continue to exist as a country. But for some reason, we are sacrificing trillions of gallons of fresh water and trillions of gallons of oil to build these things whose only purpose could ever possibly be to surveil and control you. So, everything's coming together, folks. For the bad guys, it's up to us to stop it. First, we have to recognize it. Thanks for being here with us. We will see you tomorrow here, as always, at 3 p.m. Central Time on The War Room, alexjoneslive.com, thealexjonesstore.com is where you go to support us, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison. If you want to let them know who sent you.
Well, we feel really good that we're one step closer to achieving one of the primary goals that the families had when they brought this litigation, which was to prevent Alex Jones from ever inflicting the kind of harm at scale that he had inflicted upon them.
We look forward to infesting your social media feeds with caricatures and grotesqueries of the very people who have ruined our media ecosystem over the last 10 years.
I am going to make a big announcement right now, and that might affect our relationship, Ben. I am pledging myself to Satan and to the Prince of Darkness.
Oh. I read about this last night on a website.
After a decade of trying to shut us down and spending hundreds of millions of dollars to do it, believe they will be successful shutting us down Thursday night at midnight. But we're starting the Alex Jones Network. And the coordinates of the next phase of the InfoWar is alexjoneslive.com. So if you want to stand against the tyrants and against the censors and against the globalists and against their goal to shut us down, share that URL, your whole email list, your text message list, all over X, Facebook, TikTok, everywhere else. The coordinates of the next level, the next phase, the chapter in the fight against the tyrants is alexjoneslive.com. And go to alexjonesapp.com and download on Android or on Apple free the app for the new Alex Jones Live show that has audio and video feeds, the articles, special reports, and more. The tyrants are counting on you to not take this serious. They're counting on you to not take action. So take action now at alexjoneslive.com and alexjonesapp.com. The ball is in your court. Roll over and submit to tyranny or stand up and fight 1776 2.0. You're unstoppable. But I know this. The answer in 1984 is 1776. And if they were looking for a fight, they better believe they got one.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.